ABM7.
In a world racked by mediocrity, two angry heroes from New Jersey have returned from 20 years of self-imposed exile. Their mission, to blaze a trail of freedom in defiance of all odds. Inexpensive surreal comedy is their weapon. Smiting the obsequious and vanquishing oppression is their calling. Their lives have reconverged at a time when the universe needs them most to make one final stand. They have been called so wildly pathetic as to be insane, branded ignorant of history and a host of other things, and found guilty of human rights violations. This is the story of a man named Brady, who was bringing up three boys of his own. Where Indian fights are colorful sights, and nobody takes a lickin'. Where Paleface and Redskin both turn chicken. Love, exciting, and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you. I don't actually know where I'm going with this. But they do. There's an exit ramp up ahead. Abandon reality. It's time for the Anything But Monday Show. So you think I'm driving your car? Sing karaoke from my boss? Got my mind in the car. Don't forget to pick up the dough. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's gotta stop. Saturday, Sunday, I can't play. You know it's time to rock.
All right. We are back.
Yes.
This is ABM 7, and this is Mad Mike Masters. With me, as always, is my life partner, Frank Edward Nora.
Hi, I'm Frank Edward Nora. Welcome to the Anything But Monday show, number 7.
Should we clarify that?
Yeah, that's not true. We're not life partners.
It seems like it's been a lifetime we've been together.
We're just radio partners.
We're just radio partners.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah. And, you know, we have a lot of new listeners coming in this show particularly.
Because
right. These are people that have met us and in the future at the pod camp and had a great old time meeting us and mingling with us and getting all kinds of great things and hanging out at our booth and God knows what else happened. And they're now listening to the show.
Exactly. This is the show that will be out when pod camp is going, right? So someone might meet us Friday night. And they talk to us about the Anything But Monday show. Then they go home right to their computers, go to abmshow.com and start listening to the show. And so they're hearing this right now.
Is this a show?
Yeah, because this show will be out when the pod camp is out.
Is it really?
When the pod camp is going. Then the Monday after pod camp, there'll be another show out, number 8.
I'm confused. But isn't there a Monday? Isn't there a Monday coming up now?
No. This is the Monday before pod camp.
Yes.
So the show will have been out for like 5 days or 6 days by the time of pod camp.
Got it.
Right. But sure. If someone like has a laptop at PodCamp, they're like, oh, let me hear your show right now.
Right.
They'll hear us talking right now. So we can actually say hello to ourselves.
Hello, selves.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Frank. Hello, Frank. It's very weird talking to ourselves in the future.
I know. I hope you got all the preparations done for the PodCamp, all the displays and all the various prizes. I see a lot of, we got some good prizes we're giving out to people.
And Frank, I also hope you avoided that steel girder on 6th Avenue. I had nothing to do with it.
Great. More threats from the future or the past. So anyway, there's a lot of great stuff coming up on the show tonight. Of course, what do we have coming up? We have some good stuff.
There's always good stuff
coming
up.
There's always great stuff coming up on the show.
I always have a variety of things I'd like to start with.
The show is always semi-jam-packed with great stuff.
I collect this stuff up throughout the entire week because if you live in the great state of New Jersey here in the United States.
Like most of us do.
And anybody who is anybody lives in New Jersey, of course.
Of course.
But, you know, when you walk around the state, in 1 week's time, this is not like living in Montana, you know, or living in the middle of China someplace in the rural areas.
Yeah.
There's always something happening.
Absolutely.
Always. So you can fill a show just with the goings on in New Jersey.
Oh, exactly. There's so much going on.
The New York metropolitan area is the place to be in the world. I mean, there's like 50 million people living on one square mile on top of each other, basically.
Exactly. Just about.
I'm like that guy.
And we have a giant statue as well.
We do?
The Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, that's correct. That is correct.
I just wanted to throw that in.
It's one of our remaining standing landmarks that hasn't been bombed yet by terrorists.
I know. Most of the other giant statues were destroyed back in the 1960s.
That's correct. Many of you missed that. you know, but because of the internet, media was the way
like
it was.
The Statue of Liberty. There was also like the Statue of like wealth, you know, yes. Statue yeah. of happiness.
Happiness.
And, you know, what else? You know, this the Statue of anchovies, things like that.
Statue
you know?
Of sloth.
Yeah.
They had all those. They had the seven deadly statues.
The seven deadly statues, the seven like blessed statues. And
they had everything.
There was like 300 or 400 statues.
And the only one that made it was the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, the whole river, up and down the river, like every 20 feet, there was another giant statue. They're all gone now, except for the Statue of Liberty. So I thought I'd throw that in there.
Thank you very much, Mike. Yeah. But, you know, I just want to let you know that, you know, I'll have you know that with the money generated from the show so far.
Yes.
I've been able to begin work in my backyard on the rollerball rink. Yeah. That I've always dreamed of.
Really? Rollerball?
You know, right. I you know, I was thinking about this today. I mean, I've been thinking about this for a long time.
Yeah.
I wonder why the sport never caught on. You know, they did that great documentary in the 70s with James Caan. Do you ever remember that game, the documentary they did on rollerball?
No, I saw that, and I know it was a popular sport back in the 70s.
Yeah. But what happened to it? It didn't catch on?
It's just like, I think roller derby took over from that. I don't know.
How can you go from rollerball to roller derby? That was the best sport.
I know, because you had motorcycles.
Motorcycles and spike gloves and steel balls and people being, you know, how many deaths were on the sport? I guess that's probably what the problem was.
Yeah, yeah. A few fatalities, you know, here and there, kind of.
But that was a great movie, right?
Did
you have anything in that movie?
Huh?
On Rollerball? Did you ever get anything from that film?
What do you mean, did I get anything?
Did we have anything set up to, like, you know, so people know what the hell we're talking about? Because the 1970s is like decades ago.
Yeah.
And many of our listeners don't even know what the hell I'm talking about right now at this point.
Yeah.
You know, they think James Caan is some kind of, you know, old senior citizen that's like barely can act anymore, but back in the day,
that was
a documentary they did on this great sport we had in this country called rollerball. For many who don't know that, it was
we have the trailer if you want to hear the trailer.
Oh yeah, well,
the original rollerball.
Okay.
Here, you want to see it? I didn't screen this one, so I don't know if there's gonna be a lot of talking in here or not.
Yes, this will be my backyard.
There is James Caan. This is not one of the piss poor movie trailers, by the way.
Right.
This is actually a very good movie trailer.
Yeah.
So they shot a ball out like at super speed.
And you catch it with this big glove.
Like a Hi-Li glove.
E, that's the name. Houston players come and go. But the champion.
Oh, who's that?
Sir John Gielgud.
No, John Houseman.
No, it's not Houseman. It's John Gielgud.
It's John Gielgud? No, it's not. That's not.
It is.
It has a definite social purpose.
Oh, he's like Illuminati back in the 70s.
Exactly.
Gone. No poverty, no sickness. Man has accomplished what he'd always craved. Corporate society was an inevitable destiny. A good life.
This trailer shows you nothing.
There's a girl with a giant like, laser gun shooting trees.
I told Jonathan, that's all I have to say.
Not in the movie.
Don't be here when I come back.
You won't be back, John Apple.
The player is greater than the game itself.
It's nice when they have a movie trailer where you're actually abusing women in the movie trailer. That's good.
So if you go
to watch this trailer,
yeah,
watch Rollerball trailer, you can see this.
You'll see the sport.
You see what I'm building in my yard.
It's a curved track. You have a motorcycle, roller skates, and a ball.
Right. Spike gloves, you know, just beat people when they're, you know.
And it's in the future.
Bludgeon people, and it's in the future.
Right, so we got the idea of that.
That was that.
Yes.
You know, and then here's another great thing. You know, this is the New York metropolitan area, but, you know, I went, you know, I'm in Manhattan a lot lately. I've been parking in the garages. So I'm driving in the city a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you don't park a lot in the city, so I don't know if you ever see the signs they now have up in the garages.
Yeah.
And I'm standing there waiting for my car through the day, and this is the sign that I read. You ready?
Yeah.
It goes something like this. Pursuant to law, this facility shall not be responsible for damages caused by theft, fire, or explosion to any vehicle in excess of $25,000. Okay? That doesn't stop there. Should you desire additional coverage for your vehicle, please inquire at the desk.
What?
So I'm like...
blow up insurance?
Well, I'm like, yes. I'd like to find out about additional coverage for my vehicle as it's prone to spontaneous combustion, particularly when parked on the ground. You know, arguing up. Yes, I sense a pending terrorist attack. I'd like to have some more coverage for my car. Explosion. What is this random explosion going to happen to my car?
My chair is like disintegrating.
How much confidence does it instill in me when I park in your garage and your sign says we will not be responsible for explosion of your vehicle?
Now, you were joking about blow-up insurance a while back, but that really is.
That would cover it.
But I just want to mention that officially my chair is busted. Let me get the camera.
Right, I don't.
The chair is busted.
What's with you and chairs?
Chair is busted. I'm going to take a picture of it.
You always break the chairs.
The arm of the chair is completely like.
These chairs have a weight limit, Frank. I told you the weight limit.
Well, why did you? I weigh more than that. Why did you get that?
Right, I weigh more than a two. My chair.
Why did you get that kind of chair?
I don't, you know, think of weight. When you, there are certain things when you purchase them, you don't think about weight limits, okay? Chairs are usually one of those things, you know?
Right. 220, I'm not that much over 220, but...
Yeah, I understand that.
I'll show you the picture I just took. There you go. There is the chair. It's busted.
You snapped the arm right off the chair.
This chair is busted. Okay. Do you have any, like, duct tape or anything I can...
No, I have no duct tape.
Oh, this chair is busted.
Right.
I need a new chair. I'm sorry I interrupted your story. Go ahead.
But
it was real blow-up insurance.
That it was really? You could actually get explosive insurance if your car blew up when it's parked in the garage.
Jeez.
You know, and then of course, there's always your parents.
Yeah.
Right? Now, Frank, we all know that, for those of you who know Frank from other shows, and we all know that Frank has insane parents. But that goes without saying. They're great people, but they're wacky. But the thing is, Frank's parents were crazy back when I knew them. See, my parents took a while to catch up. And now they've gotten where his parents were back when I knew him 20 years ago at this point. So this
now,
is what
why do you think my parents are insane? They're very nice.
Should we review your parents, Frank? Why don't you just tell some stories about what it was like to go to your parents' house when I used to go over there and how your mother used to act?
I just think that they did not understand you, and that was the problem.
Is that, you think so?
Yeah.
They didn't overreact a bit all the time when I was there?
They didn't understand you. They didn't understand you because you said...
Well, what was there to understand?
Because
give me an example.
You said...
What?
You said this magazine is going to take off. We're going to be millionaires, and they thought you were a little arrogant, I guess, right? And,
how in the world would they ever?
And that they got a little, they misunderstood you. It was a misunderstanding. It was not anything, you know. That was the whole cause of the issue. A little misunderstanding.
Yeah, and your mother was just was totally a stable, normal person.
Yes,
otherwise,
very normal.
Yeah, okay.
Why? How do you think I turned out so normal? My parents are very normal.
I rest my case. Okay.
Yes.
Frank is just, you know, Frank is the most normal of three children. That's the scary part.
Now,
okay?
Come on.
As you go down the chain, they get crazy.
My siblings are very normal as well.
Mm-hmm.
We're very average citizens.
Yeah.
We just go to work, pay our taxes. Right. We each have 3.6 children. Very normal.
Let's not go down that road. Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway. But this is what happens. I have this thing, my porch, there's something on the porch needs to be fixed. And it needs a ladder.
Yeah.
So I said, Dad, he's retired now.
Yeah.
I said, Dad, do me a favor. Because I'm totally incompetent when it comes to fixing anything. I did not get that gene. I have no idea how to do that. I can't even hammer in a screw. I have no concept.
You got that gene too?
Right.
I don't know how to fix it.
I can't fix a goddamn thing. All right.
Yeah.
So the simplest thing that he's breaking, you know, the gutter is a little loose or something. I have to get somebody to help me with it. I'm not going to mess with it because if I start messing with it, I destroy it, whatever it may be. So he says, I said, look, Dad, I'm not going to be home. I'll leave the ladder out on the side of the house.
Yeah.
When you come by, you know, use the ladder, fix me. And there's a long pause in the phone. My dad goes this. Dad says, this is what Dad says. Don't leave the ladder out. People get crazy ideas when they see ladders lying around. Like, what the
crazy fuck? Ideas? What?
What do you mean crazy ideas? They see ladders lying around. What are they going to do? Oh, I see a ladder. Perhaps we should scale this person's house. You know, we should rob it.
Storm the gates.
You know, why are we leaving a ladder? People get do ladders cause people to go crazy? Did I miss something? People get crazy ideas when they see ladders lying around.
They want to climb on things, and it can be dangerous doing a ladder by yourself.
It was on my porch. Wasn't even anywhere accessible to anybody. People get crazy when they see ladders lying around.
I don't know what to say. Yeah, that's a good one, though.
Parents come up with these crazy, outlandish things all the time.
Yeah.
Give me an example of something your mother or father have said to you that, like, totally makes no sense. Like some advice they give you. You know, I know they've come up with some good ones, right? And you look at them like, where did that come from? Give me an example.
Here's a piece of advice.
Give me one.
How about... I think for your own good, you should stop working with Mad Mike Masters. There you go. That's a good piece of advice.
Did they actually give you that advice?
I probably back in the day they did. Yeah.
That's where they moved you out of college.
That's true. They did. Right. They did move me to a different college after the year of hijinks of 1986.
They refused to pay your tuition again and go back. That was the ultimate statement right there.
They suggested, after all of these things were. Well, what do you expect? They think I'm going to school to learn. I don't know what the hell I was going to learn. I think I was going to become...
What was your major in this?
Decided on becoming an art major, right? To like draw things.
Yeah.
And then we had this year where we're accused of being human rights violators and racist, and we're publishing magazines, and we're getting in trouble, we're getting in the newspapers, all this stuff. And they're like, I think it'd be better if you went to NYU film school. So I transferred over there. Yes.
Oh.
Because I don't know. Maybe they thought you were a bad influence on me.
I wonder why they thought that.
I don't know. Because I was a very nice person until I met you. And then I turned into a scumbag. You know?
Are you trying to say that I have this power to create scumbags out of people? Are you trying to say that?
Yeah.
Can we clear that? I actually put that in my notes here. Can we clear that up once and for all?
What?
Okay. Can you please settle this issue by letting our listeners know that I'm not really a complete a-hole in real life? Can you let them know that?
Yes. What I would like to say is I would like to mention that Mad Mike Masters is actually a very nice person.
You skipped it with there's two varies there.
A very, very nice person, okay. And he's a very cool person altogether, all around.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for that. Thank you for your heartfelt endorsement of me.
Yes, very.
At that point. So what are we doing on the show, actually? We have lots of people over on the show. What are we at? Well, usually we have our piss poor movie trailers.
I'm leaning. This is like the leaning Frank Tower of Frank. I'm leaning to the right here.
We'll get a chair on the break.
Chair. You must have other chairs in here.
Yeah, I do.
It's a very cavernous space out there.
I just don't want you breaking him. That's why I let you sitting them right now. Okay. Well,
why don't you get a chair that's like an Aeron chair or an Ames chair?
What kind of budget do you think we have?
Now look.
Look around the studio. All the money is in our equipment.
I got in my studio for my other podcast, The Overnightscape, at theovernightscape.com. I have only had two chairs.
Let me ask you a question.
And I bought them at Staples for like $50 each. And one got busted after like years, but they last, and they're more like a fake leather. This has like fake leather on it, but.
Yeah. How many times, leather?
Yeah.
How many times, let me ask you, on your show, do you actually mention the Anything Monday show?
Every time.
How many shameless plugs do you do for our show?
I continually mention, and those that listen to both shows know that I always mention Anything But Monday show on my show.
All right. Just want to make sure.
It's called cross promotion. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah.
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes, I interrupted you because I'm leaning at like a 30-degree angle here. But yes, there's a lot of great stuff coming up. We're going to have our the answer to the T-shirt contest.
Yeah.
We're going to be calling Roel from the Netherlands because his answers were done in Dutch. So we're going to be talking to him about that.
Yeah.
We have more great piss poor movie trailers coming up, of course. The horoscope, audio from the past, ABM insult of the week, and super video battle. Maybe not.
we also have the news,
telephone interview. News,
oh yes. Oh, I see.
Closing credits, of course.
Frank, I did a little bit of a This Is Your Life's twist on this show.
Yeah.
And our special guest later on in the show will actually be Frank's Hebrew school teacher.
Really?
Who will be regaling us with tales of how a young Frank Norris struggled with to learn Hebrew.
Yes.
You're not Jewish? Nora?
No.
I thought for sure, you know, that was the case. But
even though there was another podcaster who called me the big Jew for no reason. Like, I'm not even Jewish. He's like, he really thought I was Jewish. He's like, Frank Nora, that big Jew. Yeah. It was pretty funny.
Couldn't call you BJ Nora.
Yeah. Big Jew Nora. But I am not Jewish. I'm not Jewish.
What's wrong with being Jewish?
Why are there fortune cookies on the table here?
Well, I figured you'd open a fortune cookie, and we'd have the fortune said for today.
I've been wondering what the hell's up with these fortune cookies.
You know I live my life by fortune cookies, actually.
Wait,
you know
great.
That.
Golden Bowl is the brand?
Uh-huh. Well,
that's not very appetizing. It sounds like someone just took a piss in a bowl.
Right.
Golden Bowl.
Oh, right. Here it is. Look, my fortune cookies are always accurate for me.
Yeah.
Here's mine.
Yeah.
Good news of long-awaited event. It's actually improper English.
Yeah.
It's good news of long-awaited event will arrive soon, you know? No definite articles there in the sentence. Good news of long-awaited event will arrive soon.
That could be like the pod camp.
Exactly. There it is. What's yours say?
He who grabs the last lettuce wrap is the least hungry.
What? That doesn't make any sense. Is that what it says?
He who grabs the last lettuce wrap is the least hungry.
Yeah, great words of wisdom.
That's meant to mean like if you wait until the end, you will have had the most recent thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you dive in and get the first lettuce wrap, then by the end you'll be hungry again.
Ah.
And I have, of course, my Chinese translation.
Yeah.
What word did you get?
Store.
And how do you say that?
Shang-gian.
I got the word it.
It's probably 14 words, right?
Te.
The word it.
It is like backwards in Chinese.
Store it.
Yeah. We're learning most of these languages are just English backwards. Te. That's from the Golden Bowl.
Right.
So, all right. So I think, is it time to do the contest or what time is it?
It's time to get the show off the deck. That's what time it is.
Yeah.
We actually started early tonight.
I know.
For a change. We usually start, it was light out when we first got to the studio.
I was shocked by that. This is the first time since the first show that it's actually been light out when we arrived at this. It's dark now, of course, but. So, yeah. So what do you want to do? We are doing.
I have so many things. Did you prepare anything for the show?
Yes, I did.
Well, then,
I just think we should do the We should do the contest.
Do the contest. And let's get that out of the way. People want to know what the contest.
We'll do the contest.
Let's explain what we did last. We did this contest last show, just in case people were listening for the first time.
But the next segment, we actually explained it, so we don't need to explain it.
Let's go to it right now.
Here it is. Yes, here we are.
You love using that song, don't you?
We have a bunch of songs. Come on.
Yeah, we have like 5,000 songs, and that's the same song.
This is a great song.
It's a good song, but it's the same song over and over again.
Screaming Bones. Yes. So it's time to reveal the winners of the contest from last week, the T-shirt contest. And we're going to be calling Ruul from the Netherlands right now on the Skype. And if I plug my...
Have you hooked up the...
I haven't plugged the system in yet.
Have you hooked up the Dutch translator so we can understand what the hell he's saying, or what?
Yes.
All right.
Hello.
Hello, Ruul.
Hi, Frank.
This is Ruul from the Netherlands. Welcome to the Anything But Monday show.
Hello, Ruul. It's Mad Mike.
Hi, Mike.
It's good to talk to you finally, actually, in person.
Yeah. Well, I've heard you before.
Yeah, I know you have. Yes, you came over from the Overnightscape to support our show, and we appreciate it. And now you're quite the celebrity now.
Yeah.
So it's a lot later there now, right? It's 12 hours later there or something? What's going on in the Netherlands?
It's Wednesday in the Netherlands.
Is it Wednesday?
It's Wednesday. It's next Friday, so your show should have been out for 3 days now.
So really?
You already heard your own segment. That's how far ahead it is. Yeah.
It's nothing like some good Dutch humor to start the evening. Okay, good.
So, Ruul, what we thought we would do is we're going to be revealing the winners of the T-shirt contest. And you submitted your answers in Dutch. I said that was fine. I told you that the Dutch answers were great. So I figured what we're going to do is we're going to go through these songs, and you can give us the Dutch answer, and then we'll let you know if you are right or wrong.
Okay.
All right.
So he has to give the answer first. I have to play it if he's correct, then, right? So I'll cue it up here. So what's the first one?
All right. So basically, just for those that didn't hear it, last week we had a contest to name the 23. This is a very hard contest. 23 different TV theme songs.
One of which I gave away totally.
You know, from the 70s, based on like a 3-second clip.
Right.
So,
and it's even more difficult when you're not even in this country.
Yeah.
It's like us trying to figure out the names of Dutch sitcoms.
Yeah.
Is there such a thing, Ruul? Was there ever such a thing as is there a Dutch sitcom?
Yeah, there are lots of Dutch sitcoms.
What are they? Give us a name of a couple of Dutch sitcoms.
Het zonnetje in huis, Seconds A, you're just
screwing with us Americans, right? You're just making that stuff up, right?
They sound like good shows, though. They really do.
No, say them separately again, real slowly. What was the first one?
Het zonnetje in huis.
What does that mean?
The sunshine in house, in the house.
The sunshine in what?
In the house.
Sunshine in the house.
In the house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Give us another sitcom.
Seconds A.
Seconds A? What is that one about?
Say A.
It's a doctor show.
It's about doctor. Yeah. You're right.
It's like Scrubs.
No.
They do sound like some good shows.
I gotta see clips of these shows.
Yeah.
Now after that, so maybe Ruul can send us some clips of the shows so we can review the Dutch sitcoms.
Now, do they have like Dutch Idol over there?
Really?
Yeah,
they do. Yeah. They had two series now.
Really? Two Dutch idols?
Yeah, two Dutch idols.
Now, is TV in the Netherlands, the TV in Great Britain, when you have to like pay for three channels, is that really, you have a TV license there?
Well, they used to have a separate license or something like that, but now they just get it from you in another way. They put it in the channel.
they knock on the door. Give
the
us
Dutch,
your money.
The Dutch TV police show up.
Yeah.
They knock on the door of your windmill, hits you with a wooden shoe. That's a stupid American first interpretation of what's going on in the Netherlands every day.
A bunch of people smoking marijuana in windmills wearing wooden shoes. There you go.
That's it. That's it.
If you walk out on the streets here, that's all you see.
Yeah.
And of course, all the people are wearing their old-fashioned clothes, which they wore centuries ago with...
Like those hats, like the white hats that girls used to wear.
Yeah.
The Dutch,
of course.
Well, they have paint. They have Dutch boy paint, and they're hanging and they're walking with prostitutes because prostitutes are illegal, and everybody's perfectly fine with them. You know, I actually read a story. Now, we'll, correct me if I'm wrong. I recall there was a big uproar in the Netherlands about the fact that they were going to basically send over prostitutes for the Dutch soldiers over in Iraq to keep them company while they were gone, to bring up their spirits, to bring up their morale. Is that true?
I haven't heard that.
And that was actually a story.
I haven't heard that. So,
well, I mean, if it's legal in the country, yeah, they should be able to.
It's legal there. It's legal there, though, right? Prostitution is perfectly fine there, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever been with a prostitute in the Netherlands at all? Before you were before you, are you married? Before
no,
you
were, not married.
You're not married. Oh, then all bets are off. So obviously, did you ever? I mean, is it a rite of passage in the Netherlands? Does every Dutch boy, you know, go with a prostitute at some time or no?
No.
So
it's just for the tourists.
It's a tourist trap.
Wow.
Only tourists are into that sex stuff. Come on.
They don't impart that stuff.
That's just for the Americans.
That's right, the sucker Americans. Very good, Roel. It's great to hear you, and let's go through.
Okay, so we're going to go through the list. So number one, so Roel, if you can read us your translated version, and we'll let you know if you're right or wrong.
Okay. Klinkt bekend.
Klinkt bekend. Play the song and see if he's correct. That's Charlie's Angels, right? So Klinkt bekend means Charlie's Angels.
Is that correct?
Yeah, sure.
There you go. He's correct.
wouldn't it be good if he said the name in English first? Like say it in Dutch.
No, he has to say it in Dutch. So Klinkt bekend is like Klinkt means like angels, and bekend is Charlie.
Charlie. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now what do you have for number two?
Maybe it sounds familiar, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Yeah.
And by the way, we have also Bo from Utah and Manny, the mailman from New Jersey, and escapist Terry from Los Angeles also entered the contest. So we're checking their answers as well.
I didn't even hear from Jason from New Jersey. Did he enter this contest?
I don't think Jason entered the contest, no.
Not with him.
All right, number two, what do you have, Roel?
Hier niet uitgezonden.
Play it. What is that one?
Three's Company.
Yeah, here, Nick. Let's go. Yes, you're correct. 100% correct.
100% correct. All right, Roel.
All right, Roel.
That's good.
So far, you're 2-for-2. And what's number three?
Loveboat.
Loveboat, yes.
Let me see if he's...
Yes. Loveboat.
Let me get this straight. In Dutch, there's no word for love or boat.
No.
It's just loveboat.
Exactly.
Maybe in Japan I can see that, but not the Dutch have no word for love or boat. Okay, here we go.
We do.
It's easier to say love boat.
Yes.
you can't translate love boat.
All right, here we go. What is number four?
Komt ergens wel bekend voor.
All right, what do you have, Mike? Good times?
Good times.
Yes. Kom ergens wel. Now, how does good times become five words?
Well, maybe.
The times, maybe. They are good. Maybe. Yes, there you go. The times, they are good.
You kind of lose something when you put it in that, right?
Yeah.
Cheating a little bit.
Now, what is number five?
All in the Family.
All, right, all the Family. Let's see.
Franklin Miller playing.
Yes, it was All in the Family.
That made the hit parade.
Yes, racist Archie Bunker. He probably hated the Dutch as well, too, Roel, so we'll go over him.
Well, Bunker may be a Dutch name. Don't you think
it's true?
Bunker?
Bunker?
No.
All right, what?
Roel should know. What's number six, Roel?
What do you have for number six?
Welcome terug.
Welcome back.
Right, what do you have? Play. Welcome back. Exactly.
Welcome back. Cotter doesn't even get into it. We just dropped Cotter.
I think Cotter could maybe be a bad word in the Dutch. So.
Is it? Okay, so we skip.
Welcome terug. Okay.
Okay.
Well, terug means Cotter, basically.
Okay. Next one.
What is a number seven?
Zeker niet zeker daar.
All right. What do we have? Exactly.
The Jeffersons. Is that how you say the Jeffersons?
Yes. The sons who are Jeffer. That's Zeker niet zeker in daar. Yes.
I think it was a nasty thing about they say about black people.
That really means say,
that's what they
Mike
say.
And Frank are assholes.
No. I cannot stand black people.
All right, what's number eight?
All right, let's go on. Next one.
Dukes of Hazzard.
There it is.
Absolutely correct.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Boys. All right, let's keep it going.
All right, next one.
Number nine.
Ook niet eerder gehoord.
Of course.
Yes, Gilligan's Island.
All right.
It's like the island of Gilligan.
I don't think I don't think that ever aired here in the Netherlands.
But you never had Gilligan's Island? How could you have a modern society without Gilligan's Island?
I know, really. That was one of the best pieces of American programming ever created was Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's, all the Sherwood Shorts productions like shaped our minds.
Right. But I don't, you know, how do you pitch Gilligan's Island to the Dutch?
I don't know. I mean,
can you imagine there are seven castaways?
maybe they don't want to, they're already in a country that's sort of below sea level. So,
right.
You know,
it's always flooding.
They don't want to hear about people like on an island.
Like some buffoonery on an island someplace. Yeah. Okay.
All right, we got number 10. What do you
number
got?
10. That was a giveaway.
Very difficult. Very difficult. Happy Days.
Yes.
Happy Days.
All right. Yes. How about number 11? I see you have a very long answer for number 11.
Een man van 6 miljoen zit er ergens ook bij, dacht ik.
No. Wait a minute. How do you get that for this?
It is the young black man who is animated. Is overweight. Wait, yes.
Yes. Is that what he wrote down?
Man was is. Yes. Correct.
That's how it translates.
I think so. Fat Albert is man van is miljoen ziek. Yes. Correct. All right. Number 12.
Volgens mij droomt er iemand van genie ergens.
All right. Let's try that out. Exactly. I dream of genie.
Okay. Good. Next one.
Number 13.
Zeggen ze aan zeker niet.
Let's see if he's correct.
Hold on a minute. Was he right?
Yes, exactly.
Why can't you just hear Laverne and Shirley? Well, all right. And then we have...
Number 14.
Alles behalve maandag.
Yes, exactly. Alles behalve maandag.
Little
house on a prairie. Okay. Alles behalve maandag.
Right. All right. And now next we skip to...
Number 15.
All right.
What do we have, Rule? Wait, let him say it first. Yes.
Say it again, Rule.
Number
15.
Okay.
It sounds happy. It sounds like a happy show. Now, we're very embarrassed as Americans. That actually was a TV show at one time.
Yes, the Beverly Hillbillies.
Guess what everybody outside of America thinks of Americans.
Now,
they're a bunch of hillbillies. What, go ahead.
Of course. Now, Rule, what do people over in the Netherlands, do they think Americans are all a bunch of...
cowboys.
Rednecks and cowboys and...
Well, not all.
No, we need you know what we need to do? We need Rule to go out with the tape recorder and ask him, what do you think of Americans? And just get like a bunch of like candid things, you know, and see what they say about it, and we can play them on our show.
Yeah,
what do you think? Can you be like a roving reporter for us, Rule, out there?
I will try and do that.
Rule the roving reporter.
Yeah, that'd
very
be good.
Simple. Out there on the street for us, you know, doing things. You know, how about we do this? We do insults from America. Like, we'll send a bunch of insults that some Americans sent over, and he's just being the bearer of the insults. What do you think about that?
I don't know.
No, he wouldn't do that.
Isn't that dangerous?
It sounds a little
not for us. Yeah. All right, so here we go. The next one.
What are we up to?
Number 17. It's 16. It's a tough one.
All right, so let Rule say it. What is your answer?
Dondervogels.
All right.
Now look, this is like it's all backwards in Dutch because these are all like you know very long. This is a long title.
What is it?
It takes so long.
What is this one? $6 Million Man.
Yeah.
Dondervogels.
Okay, Victor. Landing rocket arm switches on. Here comes the throttle.
All right. Next one.
That might mean like Superman's or whatever, something like that.
Go ahead.
Next one, number 17. What do we have?
Monty Python.
Monty Python. Okay, that's fine.
Yes.
That's
all
correct.
Right, what's next? Number 18. What do we have? Number 18.
Taxi.
Right. Thank God they're getting easier. That's correct.
Number 19.
The Family Adams.
Family Adams. That's easy enough, right?
Sorry, incorrect. It was the Family Abe Adams. No, you're right.
Okay.
Number 20.
Flintstones.
That's the same in any language as Flintstones.
That's correct.
Because, yes, back when we were all cavemen, we all spoke the same language.
Exactly.
Right?
And now?
We all spoke English back then. And the last few, number 21.
Moeilijke quiz, hoor.
Okay. Yes.
The monsters.
Monsters living together, yes.
Monsters living together?
That's all right, that's number 22.
Mesh.
Mesh, yes.
Yes.
Even the duck, yeah.
That's a universal show. And finally, the last one. 23.
Staat deze in de sterren.
All right, let's see. What is that one? Oh, Sanford and Son. Yeah, wow.
Did you get that right?
Yeah.
So it's a clean sweep. We have a winner.
Yes, Rule has got them all correct. So there could be a tie. But thank you, Rule. All your answers are correct.
And unfortunately, well,
are we ever going to know what you really wrote there? I don't know.
Did you actually get them all right, Rule?
Yes, they're all correct.
All right,
they're all correct. But the ones I wrote in English are definitely all correct. And
yes.
The other ones might be not totally 100%.
Right.
Well, so some of the other folks on the forum, Into Your Head, who's Neil from Ireland, said, I'd send my answers too, but unfortunately I have found that I'm too damn lazy. I spent most of my teens and early 20s watching television and recognized many of them tunes, although not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Mr. Bunny Day from England, I know about five of them. Either they were never shown here in the UK or I'm just a little too young. I guess if you're 35 plus from the US, it's fairly easy. Never mind, perhaps I'll just buy one someday. So he's very upset.
Yeah. I have to buy a t-shirt one of these days. But Rule will get a t-shirt. No, Rule, as I understand, like Frank brought up before off the air, he said that most of our listeners are fat. So this is what he says about most of our listeners.
Well, I know, Rule, you said you need a 2XL shirt, correct?
Yeah.
And I would like to say that also Manny, the mailman, great contest. Some were easy. Some were tough as hell. I was on the phone with my girlfriend who was in Puerto Rico on business, and she helped me with number 14. Here are my correct answers, and I wear a 2XL if you have, or extra large if you don't.
Right. So extra large is what we got.
An escapist. Terry from Los Angeles, I'll take an XXL, please.
XXL?
Everyone wants a 2XL shirt, and I could probably use one, too.
I'm starting a new
move. Let me ask you something. Manufacture these shirts, correct?
I don't build the shirts myself.
But you told them not to make any 2 or 3 XLs.
Because I didn't. I told them not to make double XLs for a reason.
What?
Because they cost like double the cost per shirt.
Yeah, but we needed them.
But, well, all right, Frank. I'm sorry. Look at me.
No, next time we make shirts.
I'm all into health. I'm all into health and fitness. I don't live my life with my ass sitting behind a computer the entire time. You know, these people have to learn to exercise. Get out there. Get some fresh air.
We need to provide the proper shirts for our listeners. So.
Eat less, everybody.
Listen, so I think that we checked the answers, and it looks like all the other people have the right answers, so everyone's a winner. So we're going to be sending out the shirts to the 4 entrants to the contest, correct?
Everyone, that's fine.
Everyone's a winner.
That's fine.
Everyone
gets a shirt.
Send out XLs. Hopefully those will be all right.
And a rule, just don't ever wash the shirt. It won't shrink then. Actually, I think it's pre-shrunk. It's made out of some magical fabric they have here in the United States called pre-shrunk cotton.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they have pre-shrunk cotton over there, do they?
Now, did we use American Apparel or what?
What?
American Apparel?
American Apparel? I don't know.
No, I don't think we did.
We didn't use it?
So we use slave labor on our shirts?
Probably.
As usual. Probably. All right. Well, thank you very much, Rule.
And wear that shirt proudly, Rule. I want you to go around and wear that shirt as much as you can. And let's get some more Dutch listeners.
Yes.
Are you the only person in Holland that speaks English?
Yes,
he is.
No.
Everyone there knows multiple languages.
They do, except in the stupid U.S. people in America who speak one language because they think everybody in the world should speak English.
Because so we're all arrogant cowboys.
That's right. It's a bunch of arrogant cowboys here. So send our love from the American cowboys out to people in Holland.
I will.
All right, Rule. Thank you very much.
Rule, thank you so much, buddy.
All right.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Come on, get some sleep.
I will. It's 2:00 here, so. It's time to leave. I just might give you something right back. You can rock on. You know you feel me. I just felt that feeling once again. I feel it in my screaming bone.
Yes, here we are. Back once again.
Back.
Yes.
All right. What's next?
Well, I think it's time for the insult of the week.
You have one.
Yes. Do you have an insult of the week for this
week? I do, but this is your turn.
Oh, you can do it next week. Here we go. The insult of the week. All right, let me get ready here.
Is that the sound? That's the sound of your insult.
Yes. The insult of the week. All right, let me get this ready. The insult of the week. Here we go. Buddy, you're like an index card because you're not all that interesting.
Okay.
How's that one?
That's fine. That'll do as the insult of the week.
Let me do it again. I didn't say it right.
Yeah, do it again.
Buddy, you're like an index card because you're not all that interesting.
There you go.
All right,
there you go. Insult of the week.
Yes.
Right there. All right. Thank you for that.
I think that's a good one. You can basically that's very insulting. I think
it is insulting
to tell someone that they're like so uninteresting. They're almost like an index card, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I have a couple of I haven't done my brilliant ideas in a while. I've been thinking and contemplating. I have a lot of brilliant ideas.
Yes.
You know, I'm always thinking. I'm always coming with brilliant ideas.
Yeah.
Why anybody didn't think of this one, I don't know. Okay. I came up with a brilliant idea for inexpensive dual use. That means male, female birth control.
Really?
That means anybody can use it. Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't cost a lot of money. Works both ways, male or female, for very little side effects.
This is birth control.
Birth control.
So you can have sex and not get pregnant.
Here you go. Ready?
Yeah.
Clothespins.
Clothespins.
Think about it for a second.
How would that?
Well, think of a clothespin.
Yeah.
You can use it either way. Okay?
Yeah. You just close it up.
Well, look at what you do with a clothespin. You put one of those things in your finger?
Yeah, it hurts.
All right, so smart. You snap one of those things down.
Yeah.
The old John Thomas.
Yeah.
And there's no way you're having any problems, right? It depends where you put the thing, right? You put it below, you put it on top. It works, right?
So you're saying it's preventing you from...
Absolutely. Or anything, for that matter.
That's true.
Or the woman could use it, right?
Exactly.
Close it up. No problem, right? Clothespins. Yep. Why don't we ever do that? It's simple.
It's cheap.
Cheap.
They've been around for a long time.
Right? And you know what? And they have dual use.
Who invented the first clothespin, by the way? Do you know?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Why'd you bring that up? Who it was.
No, I'm just asking you.
It had to be like a guy like Edison, you know, or Da Vinci, because they invented everything.
I think it was Da Vinci.
All right,
yeah.
Good.
And there's a code. There's a code on the first clothespin.
There was?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
I missed
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So we got a Skype message.
I had another brilliant idea, too.
Oh, I'm sorry. Keep going with your brilliant ideas. We actually got another Skype message.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good.
Keep going.
Well, there's another brilliant idea I had. But,
yes.
You know, the other day, when I was getting mad. You know when parents get mad at their kids?
Yeah.
And they always spell things out so the kid doesn't understand it?
Yeah.
Why don't you create a child's parental spelling converter so the kid can understand what his parents are really spelling out?
Yeah.
Like you put a device behind the kid's ear, right? So when you spell out the words, he knew what the hell you were actually saying.
Yeah.
And translate it. Wouldn't that be cool? Kids would go for that thing, right? Because they wouldn't know what their parents are spelling out.
Exactly. I actually do that with my cats. Because, you know, when you say the word treats, because, you know, you give them treats every day, they know that word, so they go crazy. So with me and my wife, when we wanted to say it, we say we want to give the cats treats. But now they figured it out.
Right.
It sort of treats, treats.
Right.
So they know how to spell. Our cats are so smart. They know how to spell.
Speaking of cats.
Yeah.
If you haven't noticed our form, and since you are going to be talking to Neil or listening to
Neil. We got a Skype message from Neil from Ireland. So far, the only person that sent us messages. But
you know, in the forum.
Yeah.
You know, he actually put a post up a few days ago. And, of course, knowing that we're going to bring it up on the show, I figured I'd read the post here.
Yeah.
So this is what he puts up on our forum. It's not discussed very often and therefore ideal subject matter for the next show. Frank and Mike, I think you need to discuss this issue.
Okay.
If everybody who's planning a family were to get one cat or one additional cat in the case of existing cat owners and have one less child, the growth in human population would slow down and Earth would become less crowded.
Yeah.
Subway trains would have more space for a start. It's a mathematical fact that a cat takes up less space than human, especially an adult.
Yes.
Furthermore, cats produce milk and take up far less space than cows. But since the cow milking factories are all set up for cow-sized animals, each cow pen would seem like the size of a field to a cat. So effectively, we could have free-range cats instead of badly treated cows at no extra cost to the dairy farmer. Another world's problem solved. Also, sheepdogs would have no problem switching over from sheep and cow management to herding cats. Dogs love chasing cats.
That's true.
In case anyone is concerned about my credentials on this issue, I should point out that I once won an awesome pet website award from reviewer matchstickcats.com, so I'm an expert. Anywho, there's some fodder for you. You're welcome. Okay? So, this is Neil's idea. The great idea is that we switch over from kids or cows to cats.
Yes.
And so let's analyze this little idea that Neil's had. Frank, what do you think?
Well, I think in general there are some good parts of the idea, but maybe when you get into some of the specifics, it might start getting a little bit more difficult.
Such as like, let's turn the entire planet into a giant litter box just so I can put cat milk on my cereal. How about that?
Yeah.
Did anybody ever think about that being a problem?
That's true. Like in a cow pen, where do the cows go to the bathroom?
I guess they go out in the field and they bring them back into the pen, don't they?
Well, what about in a factory farm?
Those things happen. Those things exist.
Yeah.
What do they do?
I don't know. They just let us shit right there.
I guess shit goes in the milk. That's why you're not supposed to drink cow milk.
Yeah.
Look, cow milk is for cows. You're not supposed to drink cow milk. Cat milk is for cats. No one should be drinking milk. The moral of this whole thing is, first of all, Neil, stop drinking milk.
But what about cheese?
What?
Is cheese bad too?
Well, cheese really is, you know, unless you're getting like raw cheese.
Yeah.
Organic cheese.
But that's made out of cow milk as well.
Not always. There's sheep's milk cheese. There's goat's milk cheese.
Soy's milk cheese, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Things like that. So you got to just kind of be careful about, milk.
So you're not into milk.
I do not profess that anybody should be. First of all, any milk you buy in the store is not worth anything.
No.
It's this white liquid.
How about
chemicals.
Like the free-range milk or anything like that?
Slightly better. Yeah. Not by much. Because after you homogenize it and pasteurize it, there's not a bit of any nutrients left in milk. And remember, milk is basically made for.
Yeah.
You know, animals that they're supposed to feed,
but isn't it the goal of those in power to make populace like less intelligent and more sickly and so here, die sooner?
Here brings me to the another pharmaceutical plot. Yes, the answer to your question is yes. The wonderful pharmaceutical industries, which is all run by the Illuminati, are all out to plot the demise of the human population, and done a great job in this country. Because if you're listening to this podcast outside of this country. Everybody in America is sick. If you're going to invade a country, invade the United States.
Now, don't give these people any ideas. Come on.
But seriously, if you ever have a bright idea to come over here, most people in this country are obese and sickly because they don't eat right. They take all these drugs.
Yeah.
Everybody's on 15 different medications all the time.
Yeah.
They're half out of it by 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Because the pharmaceutical...
Antidepressants. A lot of people are on those.
Oh, great, great.
You're not a fan of the antidepressants?
Please. Please.
How about St. John's wort?
St. John's wort, yeah.
Is that okay?
That's fine. But you got to know what you're doing with that stuff, too. You know, because even herbs can be, those kind of impact.
Herbs
can hurt you. But of course, the pharmaceutical industry will have you believe they can kill you, because pharmaceuticals don't kill anybody, but herbs do.
Exactly.
Obviously.
Herbs suck.
Herbs suck.
I love kava kava. You like
kava,
that one?
Kava, valerian.
Does not destroy your liver like they say. It does not.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm telling you, the pharmaceutical industry is, if you just want to know some statistics, I know these statistics. I looked these up. Okay?
Yeah.
65% of the entire planet's drugs are consumed right in this country. 65% of the world.
Well, we have 65% of the world's population, so that makes sense.
How did you figure that out?
We have, in the United States, it's like, 300 million people, and that's 65% of...
No, it's not, right? Incorrect.
Wait, that would mean the world population was like 90 million. That's wrong.
That wouldn't work.
My math is way off here. So what percent of the population are we?
Mr. No Concept of Time and Measure.
All right, hold on. Let me get the calculator on here. Mr. Windows, Vista. They don't even have a calculator in this shit anymore. What the hell? Where is the freaking calculator in Windows Vista? Oh, God. There it is. Okay. The world population is what?
I don't know. It's mostly Chinese at this point.
6 billion, right?
Right? It's 6 billion.
Wait, how many is six? How many zeros is that? Six?
It doesn't matter.
Three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. And there's about 300 million people in the United States.
Right.
300
million, right?
So there's 20 people living in the United States, according to my calculations. Wait, there's something wrong here. Oh, forget it. No, we're 1/20th of the world's population.
1/20th of the world's population, or 1/18th of the world's population, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
That makes more sense.
Yes.
So. Okay, we're 1/18th of the population.
So we're 20% of the population, and yet we're consuming 65% of the drugs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? Every major pharmaceutical industry, every major pharmaceutical company is in the United States.
Yeah.
Most of them in where? The great state of New Jersey. In the pharmaceutical capital of the world, of course. If you're going to put a pharmaceutical company someplace, what a toxic industry somewhere else, where do you put it?
In New Jersey.
You put it in New Jersey, right along the turnpike where you can see the Sopranos belching smoke as you drive by it. Right.
New Jersey's very nice. It's not like that turnpike with the giant, the smells over there are pretty crazy. They have a plant where they take animal carcasses and render them into, perfume. And it's
that's true.
It's disgusting. Like animal fat and tallow to cook the French fries. Remember the old days? They used to cook French fries in animal fat, waxy animal fat. They make it into perfume and animal feed. There's a factory right by this most populated area that does this.
We really, so come to New Jersey.
What's the new thing? Come see for yourself, right?
Come see for yourself. Come see for yourself what we're talking about. But seriously, I don't get me started on pharmaceuticals because, again, it's a plot.
No, but I actually like some pharmaceuticals, like Alka-Seltzer. I love it. I take it every night.
Why?
Because it soothes me. It's soothing.
There are many other soothing drinks you can take besides Alka-Seltzer. So stop doing that to yourself.
Why?
Because it's a plot. They're sucking you in. They're making you. I don't have one drug in my whole house.
It makes me feel good.
Not one.
What other drugs do I take? I take the Kava Kava.
Kava is not a drug.
That's more like an herb.
Right. Alka-Seltzer is
Alka-Seltzer, I love that. Plop, fizz, fizz. I shouldn't take that every night?
No. You're not supposed to take any drugs. Every night.
It's not really a drug. It's like a carbonated soda or something.
Drink your vintage seltzer water. If you have to have that to go to bed.
Doesn't have the same kick though.
The same kick as Alka-Seltzer.
No, I don't really do too many drugs. You know, I'm not on any like mind altering antidepressants or anything.
Well, that's great for you. But the average American has 27 drugs in the medicine cabinet. 27.
Really?
The average American has 27 different drugs.
Gas-X. I take Gas-X sometimes when I get gas.
Or Beano.
Well, Beano would be good for before that, but no, you get the gas pain, so you get to take the Gas X, right? Occasionally the Imodium when you get the runs, you know, just a couple of the more standard drugs.
You're all just enrolled. you've all been hooked into this thing, haven't you?
Those are not an everyday thing. No.
Yeah, right. Good.
It works pretty well.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just keep going along with that ploy. You're just sucked in.
Yeah.
Sucked in.
All right. So, do you have any more brilliant ideas, or should we?
I have
to Neil?
A list of business ideas. But let's listen to Neil.
Let's listen to Neil. Here is some audio from Neil. We have not pre-listened to this, and he may even be talking about the whole cat thing. I don't know. Here we go.
Yeah, hi. It's Neil here from IntoYourHead.com. I'm a bit worried because last week you played my message, and Mike suggested that you couldn't make out what I was saying because of my accent. Now, this is, normally I wouldn't care about this, but as you know, I'm a podcaster, so if people can't hear my accent, it means that I've made many, many shows that are of no use to anyone, and it means it's just been a complete waste of time for me. So if you can offer me any tips, Mike, on how to improve my speech and make it more... make myself more listenable, please go ahead and tell me on the show. I just realise now that you won't be able to understand this message, so that I'm wasting my time. So I'll just go. sorry.
Oh. Now, did you understand? I understood every word. I understand him.
No, here's the humor in this whole thing.
Yeah,
he's asking me how to improve their speech.
Yeah,
me of the speaking 100 miles a minute, sometimes unintelligibly. He's asking me to improve his speech.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Do you ever understand, doesn't Neil sound like Stephen Hawking?
Oh, like on the robot? Like, the universe is 45 billion years old.
That's what he sounds like.
Black holes may transport you through space and time.
I wish they had that Family Guy thing.
It's Neil here from IntoYourHead.com.
The universe was created 40 billion years ago in the Big Bang. The gravity in a black hole reaches absolute zero.
All
right. You think this water's good? I think I got this about episode 3, my Iceland spring water.
It's been sitting there open?
But water can't really go bad, can it?
Oh, because the pistachios can't go bad either, right, Frank?
Wait a second.
The pistachio debacle you had.
This is made in Iceland from lava mountains.
Mm.
It's still good. It's bottled in Reykjavik. We don't have any listeners in Iceland, do we? Show me the way to go. What the hell is that? What the hell was that? This is like this random audio. What is that?
That was from Jaws.
Yeah.
Their drinking song.
Talking about drinking, can we go to a little audio from the past?
Yeah, do a little audio from the past. We did some drinking stories last week that we liked.
We're going to go to some audio from the past here. And we are still working on getting sound effects. We still have the same three sound effects and the same four songs that we always play. But anyway, this is a quick one. This is back in November of 1985, around the same time that I was drunk. Now, my roommate John also got drunk. He would actually, and I believe I listened to most of this old tape. John actually drank, I remember this clearly, a big bottle of Jack Daniels bourbon whiskey, right?
Mm-hmm.
He drank a whole bottle in one night, a complete whole.
I think I remember this.
Yeah. And he performed a concert of his favorite rock band. He just got so drunk, shit-faced drunk.
His favorite rock band was?
Triumph.
Triumph,
yes.
At the time?
No one knows who Triumph is.
It's a band for girls.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
I mean, there is actually some audio of him trying to sing Triumph and stuff, but the audio that I pulled is later at the night. It's like the middle of the night. We had this little black and white television in our room. He's watching wrestling. He was a huge fan of the wrestling, World Wrestling Federation, and he believed it was real. So here he is, kind of drunk, just sort of.
He's blind drunk at this point, yeah, man. That's like a bottle.
He's
drunk,
and he's talking to the TV set, and there's a few other people in the room. And just check this out. It's about a minute too long. Just him babbling about stuff and some funny stuff. Here, check it out.
Morocco, I am tired of you, so I'm going to push the pause button until the next ad is over with. I'll see you in a split second. Okay, and I've watched the AWA and NWA matches really closely, and I can see no evidence of staging things, of razor blades in the trunks being taken out and, like, slashed so there's blood. I actually think those two institutions of wrestling are real, or most of it's real. But still, they don't have the charisma and the mass audience attraction of the World Wrestling Federation. So that's why I watch it. Also because the World Wrestling Federation is like the institution of the Northeast and Eastern Seaboard Coast. Okay, so I just thought I'd like to mention that for a second.
I'm sorry.
Okay, Ames wants some wild and crazy laughs. So here we go. A few wild and crazy laughs for Ames because she wanted to hear them.
All right, there you go.
Oh, God.
So there's John.
What a hell.
John,
can we just start the whole show over? Let's go back to the beginning. Just start the whole thing right over.
Well, that's what happens next week. There'll be a brand new show.
There will be?
Yeah. So what do you think of John talking? The wrestling is real, okay? It's real.
What's better was the Crazy Eddie commercial in the background.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear? I didn't hear that.
You didn't hear that? The whole Crazy Eddie. The guy's going on a tirade. The Crazy Eddie. His prices are insane.
I didn't hear that.
He's doing the whole
wow.
commercial. And basically, that guy, of course, went to jail.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The whole chain went under, but that
not,
was...
Not the guy who played Crazy Eddie, but the real Crazy Eddie.
Real Crazy Eddie, right.
The guy who played him is still, I think, free.
Right.
So that was after drinking a whole bottle of Jack Daniels and was talking about wrestling, but I love that laugh. That laugh was very maniacal.
You live with that guy.
He was a very cool guy. Actually, I tried finding him online. I couldn't find him though.
Did any mishaps happen to you this week? There's always something disastrous happening other than breaking the chair.
Well, I broke the chair. That was a big disaster this week. I think.
this one this week is a classic.
Yeah. Oh, you have a disaster.
It was a disaster from an emotional standpoint.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, you know, my life is busy enough and crazy enough as it is. I don't need complications in my life.
Yeah.
So, as you know, you may or may not know, I just got the TiVo. You know, the DVR.
Right.
So I have a TiVo brand one, right?
Yeah.
I can't even work this thing, right? Because, I'm technically incompetent with everything, right? You know that, right?
Yeah.
So I have
you don't know the internet or anything like that.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, apparently, you know, there's radios and radio shows on the internet and everything, all this kind of stuff. I have no idea.
They're called podcasts.
Podcasts.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I have no concept of this stuff. I know I basically had to find a show that was recorded and play it later on, basically, yeah. Right? So, having a rough day. Actually, I'm having a good day. I was going off the one. I had a great day last week. I think it was on Wednesday or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Maybe Thursday. So Thursday, I'm out driving around, feeling good. Everything's working that day. No problem. The wife calls me on the phone.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the message I get on the phone. I pick up the phone. Hey, how are you? I go, what's, and I can tell something's wrong right away. And she goes, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. Why are you recording Nude Spring Break on the TiVo? I'm like, Nude Spring Break? What are you talking about, Dan? She goes, you recorded Nude Spring Break. She's like going off on me. Like, how could you do that? You know, our son was looking to, he's like, my 6-year-old now has a remote, right? So he can scroll through the things.
Nude Spring Break.
Like, how could you record nude? And she's like, of course, going ballistic on me that I recorded Nude Spring Break. And she, you were probably watching it late at night and record. I said, I don't even know how to use the thing.
Yeah, you got caught.
I can't even record the thing. I have no idea. So we had this huge battle about like this whole thing. I was trying to insist. I was like, look, I don't know how I told you. At first, I said, let me play devil's advocate for a second. Okay.
Yeah.
I said to her, I said, number one, if I was going to record Nude Spring Break, would I be stupid enough to leave it on the menu so everybody can see it? Number one. Okay. Number two, right? Why would I have to record Nude Spring Break while I was watching it? Like, I need to watch it again? You know, while I'm watching it, I'm recording Nude Spring Break. You know, why would I do that? Well, I permanently deleted it. I said, good. I didn't record it in the first place. It wasn't me.
Now, you really didn't record this?
The story gets good.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
So she goes, and I say, I'm, you know, I don't even know we get those kind of channels on the television. I said, look, We have the platinum package. We get all you get channels. Everything. You get everything. He goes, and so I don't, you know, they're just there, okay? I don't even know where those channels are. How do you know where they are? I was like, I don't know. I didn't record this. I didn't record New Spring Break. She didn't want to believe me, right? Didn't want to believe me. She goes, I'm putting parental blocks on this television right now, so no one can watch those kind of shows. I said, fine, do whatever, right? So we had this big blowout. Finally, I get home late at night, been out. And she's like, go see the same night. She goes, maybe you are right about the TiVo. Like I thought something was like on the fritz, or like, you know, somehow we got someone else's programming, right? Yeah. Or something. Because I went to go check it again tonight, you know, and I checked to see, you know, they put like suggestions, viewing suggestions, and it was all a bunch of Hispanic television shows and pornography.
What?
I'm like, on my menu. And if I said, obviously, apparently, there's a glitch that can happen in TiVo when they actually pump you the wrong shows, or you get a season crossover.
Or maybe some Latino pervert returned it to Best Buy and you bought it.
I didn't buy it at Best Buy. I got it through the mail.
Oh, okay.
So, whatever. So, whatever the case may be, so she felt bad. Like, she accused me of the whole thing, like, and apologized for the whole thing. But I swear, you know, it wasn't me, you know?
Did you watch it, though?
Nude Spring Break?
Yeah.
How was it? I recorded it later.
You recorded on VHS.
Exactly.
Was it good?
I'll never do that again.
Was everyone nude, or like, no. How was it? No,
it was the entire spring break was nude.
So you got away with it.
I dodged a bullet. Yeah.
Wow.
But so anyway, but then last night I'm watching the TV, right?
Yeah.
She's just about to go to bed, and I'm sitting there. I get 10 minutes apiece.
Yeah.
I sit on the couch. Ah, I see in the menu Repo Man.
Really?
On the menu, it's like, great, Repo Man on, you know, whatever, 330 Cinemax, right?
Yeah.
Go to put on Repo Man. Channel's blocked. Because it says parental controls do not allow this TV television to any show over the rating of PG-13. I'm like screaming at her, what is that? She goes, what? And I go, why is the television not allowing me? I said, what is the code? Why can't I watch Repo Man? She goes, I just programmed it to like not have anything X-rated. I said, this is not X-rated. It's Repo Man. It's R-rated. I can't even watch R-rated TV shows in my house anymore.
You've been censored. Oh,
I've been censored. So I said, give me the code. So I had to get the code.
Did you get it?
Yeah, I got the code.
Oh, really? She should have kept it from you. Then you couldn't watch any of those dirty shows. Well, you brought it on yourself with that.
Yeah, I should never have done
porno you're watching on there.
But that was the whole thing.
That was your disaster
of the week. That was true.
Yeah, I had another pristine week. It was perfect. Every day I woke up, I was refreshed and happy, and
great. You just make my life miserable every day.
Yes,
that's great.
Yes.
Thanks. You know,
exactly.
But then you know that was a day that I also saw this. You always see some wonderful sights and sounds in New Jersey.
Yeah,
that was a day that the snow is melting here. You know, and we had the big ice storm. It was still residual snow around.
Yeah, yeah.
We've had some 70-degree days here. There's still ice piles around the snow.
I just saw one. I saw one in Clifton the other day.
In a parking
earlier
lot.
Today, yeah.
Right. So, but in the parking lot of this mall, all right, there's this guy who parked his Ford F-250, okay, on a snow pile at a 75-degree angle.
Yeah.
Okay? So the truck is, like, literally, like, up in the air.
Yeah.
Like, and 6 feet in the air at this point, because he figured, I'll invent the space. Because there's no spaces, I'll just drive my truck up this thing. Now, we're having some serious melting going on. That truck could have fallen.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody could have got killed. And this guy, this asshole, only in this day, has to park his car, like, at an angle, 75-degree angle, on top of a mound of snow. He had to have had to slide down it, because you could not. It was like, you know, they tractor it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You would have had to have slid down the thing to get off the thing. I'm like, we created that technology, right?
Inventor space,
Inventor space, because back in our days of Drew, Frank used to take his BMW 2002.
Oh, I love
what
this.
What a relic.
The silver 1976 BMW 2002. You hardly ever see those anymore.
With a built-in smoke screen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because you could Frank had a way to pop the clutch.
Yeah.
And a huge black cloud of smoke would come out the back.
That was the best.
Anybody behind us would be like left in a cloud of smoke.
That was a really cool car. I didn't appreciate it back then.
You did the donuts on the French house lawn.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You took the car in the French house lawn and you just did the donuts around the French house lawn.
Because we definitely had some problems with the people in the French house.
In the French house.
A lot of fights with those people.
You know, a themed French house where people like to want to speak French.
Like if people don't know what we're talking about, there's like when you go to college or university, whatever you call it, there's dorms. People live in dorms, right?
Or uni, yeah.
Yeah, uni, whatever you want to call it. In Malaysia, it's called uni. But, you know, you live in dorms and whatever, maybe off-campus housing. But then they have these houses, right?
Right.
It's not like a dorm. It's a house.
Yeah.
They have the French house. Right. What were some of the other houses? They have like the... Now there's like there was like a black house, right? Well, and there's like a German house. No, there was a theater house. All these different houses. The vampire house. Who knows what
exactly.
It is.
The haunted house.
So the people that lived there, they were living off by themselves, and they all just like spoke French to each other all the time.
Right. And then the French teacher would hang out with them and drink and smoke.
Drink heavily, yeah.
Drink heavily with these people. Yeah. She'd always be hanging out there, the French professors.
Now, I had a very good friend who wound up living in the French house. His name was Brian.
Yeah.
So I used to visit the French house a lot. And when we started getting our... Because, you know, the French, they're very, you know, haughty and very, you know, they get very outraged by things. And when people start saying, oh, these guys are racist, they're against the different people. We probably said stuff about the French.
The first place we go is the French house.
Yeah, they started frigging, like, I think one guy, like, threatened us. Like, I don't know if this guy's, like, threatening me. And they were trying to kick me out of the French house. That was the whole thing.
Right.
And I guess that's why we came back, and I just sort of like drove on the lawn after it had rained and just like wrecked the lawn of the French house.
But the event of space was, our philosophy was, whenever there's any kind of piece of ground, we'll make a parking space
invent
out of
the
it.
Space,
and
yeah.
let them come tow us. And they never would. They never came, brought the car out to...
You got booted that one time.
We only talked about...
a few episodes ago.
We talked about the boot on my car a long time ago with Manny and the thing. And then, of course, also in New Jersey, what you see on a regular basis, you can also run into the gym. Now, if you ever want to have see something fun, even if you don't work out, go to a gym in New Jersey, because there's nothing like it, in New Jersey when you go into a gym. Now, this is what I see today. I always like to watch people in gym. You know, people think I'm there, I'm real serious, and I'm working them out, but I'm always watching and listening to what's going on. So, first of all, there's this petite woman. Okay, yeah. She's got to be 90 pounds naturally, 90 pounds at the gym, right? With these enormous boobs.
Yeah.
I mean, they're enormous. I mean, it looks like she would tip over.
Yeah.
You know, if she didn't hold on to something. All right. It looks like she swaddled like two basketballs, got stuck halfway down. That's what it looks like. I mean, New Jersey is definitely the boob job capital of the world. I mean, if it's got to be one in two women in the state have had to have a boob job for sure. Would you agree?
I would say so. Yeah.
At least.
There's a lot of fake stuff going on.
And I'm like, how stupid can you look? I mean, do you realize how you look? No, she's obviously not. And then there's this Arabic girl in there with a demon's voice.
Really?
I mean, she's this little thin girl. And she looks like this. What you talk? I'm like, what? And I do another set that I'll switch machines. I'm like, what the hell is that? And my gym is definitely a breeding ground for terrorists, teeming with Arabs.
Really?
My gym is teeming with Arabs. You're going to read one day that the next terrorist plot was hatched at Gold's Gym in New Jersey. I'm telling you. Because they're all Arabs that are hanging out in that place.
Yeah.
And they're all shady. All speak Arabic. You know, they're trying to blend in with American culture by wearing the American clothes and everything else.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, you know, they're up to something. You could just tell. But this one with the demon's voice was very scary.
But what would you do if you were in Arabia? Wouldn't you go to the gym and try to wear Arabian clothes and try to, like, speak English? Wouldn't you do exactly the same thing? And they'll be like, these American pigs, they're going to destroy our country. Like, they would think the same thing about you.
I would never try to blend in if I went to Arabia. Because I'm this big, you know, jerk from New Jersey.
Yeah.
So, of course, I'm going to just be myself and say, everybody should be like me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to try to blend in with these Arabs.
Why not?
If I go to Arabia.
Where's Arabia?
Saudi Arabia. You know, I would never do that.
Yeah.
You know, gave me a flying carpet. If they did that, I would do it.
Yeah. Well.
Can we order a flying carpet mail order? Are they available mail order?
By airmail.
Oh, God.
All right. So we're going to move on now to our next feature.
Yeah.
Our next feature.
You know, you're just going to have to...
Piss poor movie trailers.
Oh,
are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Thank you.
All right, I got to choose which ones we're going to do now.
Pick.
All right.
Why is everything off on my... Of course, everything's off on my...
Sorry, I'm sorry about that.
Forget it.
Go ahead.
It's too late.
All right, so piss poor movie trailers is one of our great features. Actually, we should probably take...
What? All right, go ahead.
We should have taken a musical break before that.
Go ahead. Play
what is that, like Beethoven? What is that?
No.
Oh. Oh, Jaw.
Even today, it's very ominous.
We're going to take a little musical break to get our feedback.
Our feedback?
Yes.
What happened to our feet?
I don't know.
Oh, look. I've been soaking in sulfuric acid. I didn't know it.
We'll be back in a moment with the piss poor movie trailers. Here we go. Here we go.
Sour cream and rose buttery combo plate. Lots of tomatoes and onions like nothing I ever ate. this shit. My mouth is bursting with flavor. I'm reaching for more napkins. Taco, taco, taco.
Taco Girl.
What the fuck?
I found I found a new song, Taco Girl.
Keep it lost. That was horrible.
You said you want a new song. I found a new song, Taco Girl.
Upside down. Taco Girl.
You don't like Taco Girl? That's a good song.
Let's talk about our gum.
Yeah.
That I really want to talk about for a second.
All right.
You know, before we get into our piss poor movie trailers, because I don't want this to go too far.
It's time for the gum topic.
The gum topic, because we have a big show coming up. Big coming out party
let's
for
just,
our
let's
podcast.
Just explain this. We've been doing the show now for like a month and a half, and we're bursting out to the scene of the podcasting world. And this coming week, we're going to be going to the PodCamp NYC, which has turned into a huge event. No one knew it was going to be this huge, that probably over 1,000 different people will be attending this event.
Right.
It's going to be in the New Yorker Hotel. It burst the seams of the former venue, right? It was a new school. So, you know, it burst out of there, just like my chair, like, burst open just now.
Right. And your pants.
Yeah, and my pants. And so it's going to be very exciting. We're going to have a booth there. Hopefully we're going to meet everyone there. So
we better see some of our loyal listeners at the show. That's all I got to say.
Yes.
You guys better make the time to come out on Saturday and come by the booth and support the show.
Yeah, the main thing is on Saturday.
Saturday.
Friday night's like a party somewhere, but whatever. Saturday, the 7th of April, 2007. If you're not already past that, you should go to the PodCamp.
Yeah.
So what do we have? We're going to be giving out a lot of stuff. T-shirts.
We're giving out T-shirts to certain people that I like. All right?
Not everyone gets it. Yeah,
not everyone gets a T-shirt. And we'll have Alexandra there as well.
Our booth babe
will be at the show, and she's actually the star of one of my movies that I did
really
a while back, and you'll get to meet her, and she'll be signing autographs, and like I said, doing anything else you want to do with her. It's totally open season, open game, no problem.
Is she going to appear on our show? Like, can we talk to her? Or
she'll talk to you. You want to record her when we're there?
We're going to record her.
Yeah.
Okay. No, for what I'm
paying her, do whatever you want. All right? Take her to the back room.
So we're gonna be recording during this, you think?
Yeah. Frank, what did I say last time? You know, there's going to be some classic moments that we have to capture.
All right.
We have to record.
All right. So we'll be recording the entire time. And
I want to see is when Alexander gets a hold of the first nerd.
Yeah.
Starts getting all over this kid. The kid flips out like physics Phil. Which we have to play some of that audio. You know, these kids are not going to know what the hell
next, to do. Next week, we have some physics Phil audio.
We have to. There's no way they're going to be able to deal with her. No way. No way. But I just can't wait to see it. But so she'll be there. And we have giveaways. And one of the things we thought of, one time I had gotten this pack of gum that I passed on to Frank. I think it was episode 1.
Episode 1.
As a matter of fact.
I
love my penis gum.
You may have seen the picture online.
So when you offer the gum to somebody, hey, would you like a piece of gum on the back? And the box says, I love my penis on the box.
I love my penis.
All right. But it turns out there's a company that makes a whole line of this novelty gum.
Called Blue Q.
Blue Q. And we have now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Different packs.
So not only I love my penis, but you could get a different. We're going to be giving these out,
right?
What are some of the gums?
Some of the gums that are available
we're going to be handing out.
Going to be handing out. We have gum like instant Afro gum.
Instant Afro. So it grows an inch. Let me see.
Is the instant
Afro gum? You see this white woman, extra strength, and she. You get an Afro when you eat this gum. That's
great. No, each of these gums have some sort of magical property. So if you, for instance, suppose you were trying to try out for a musical revival of the popular 70s sitcom, What's Happening?
Yeah.
And you were looking to audition for the part of Shirley, the diner owner. You chew a piece of this gum and virtually you're assured of the part, unless you're up against like Queen Latifah or Star Jones or someone who's already big, black, and ugly and female, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
So you can actually take a piece of this gum, sprout an Afro on the spot.
Yes, this is the instant fro for folks on the go.
Right.
Yes.
And then we have the hands-off gum. Hands off, H-A-N-D-Z, hands off gum, anti-masturbatory gum.
Oh, let me see.
This is for you.
Thank you. Hands off, anti-masturbatory gum, instant relief lasting up to 6 hours.
Here's a funny thing to do for our listeners.
Chew hands off and keep both hands free all day. Yes.
Here's a funny thing to do. Speaking of that, if you ever go to a cashier and you go up to the cashier at a grocery store, you know they always try to force the change in one of your hands.
Yeah.
You ever notice that? They always like try to, you have your hands there and they're trying to shove the hand, they're assuming you're like right or left handed.
Yeah.
So whenever, next time they try to shove, change your hands, pull your hand, go, that's my whacking hand.
Yeah, that'll go over real big.
Just see what they say. All right, here we go. Happy Dead Clown Gum.
Happy Dead Clown Gum. Very nice.
We already talked about I love my penis. Orgasgum.
The orgasgum.
The orgasgum. The pre-screw chew. It's the pre-screw chew.
Very nice.
And then you have a great ass gum. of course, and on the eight ass kicking pieces on the front of the box is a nice picture of an ass.
Yes,
actually a mule.
A mule. you have a great ass. So you give it to someone that you want to tell they have a great ass, and you say no, you have a great
ass.
Donkey.
Yeah. And then we have also on the same theme, ass kisser gum. Kissing ass never tasted so good. Go out and kiss some ass. Gum for brown nosers.
Ass kisser gum.
And I smell a. I read some of the things in the back that are very funny.
I smell a promotion. Have you been working out? You're so good at that. What a great idea. I wish I'd thought of that. Did you lose weight? You are so funny. I can see why you're the boss. That is your color. Key phrases for upward mobility. So this can actually help you at work.
All right.
Yeah.
So, and then we also have gay gum.
The gay gum, yes, you know, for all of our gay listeners.
And of course, artificial fresh fruit flavor.
Fruit flavor, yes.
In the back. Did you know, for decades, the gay community has shown pride and achievements in the fashion, hairstyling, and interior decoration fields?
Really?
What is not widely known are the gay achievements in the fields of oil drilling, probing and exploration, rocket science, skyscrapers, and industrial lubricant development.
Really?
And it has the captain of industry in the back. And it's and the gay gum is from IMA Queen Pump and Drill Manufacturing, gay owned.
There you go.
Produced the most powerful and deepest drilling of rigs of the 1800s. And they also went on to coin the phrase, it's a gusher.
Wow. Look at that. A lot. Gay gum.
They crammed a lot on the gay gum pack.
Yeah.
And then also is a shut up gum.
Shut up.
No, you shut up.
You shut up gum.
You shut up gum.
The shut up gum. No, you shut up gum.
Right.
And
then, of course, one of Frank's favorites, Begone Evil Twin.
Oh, yes, of course.
Because we've all got one hidden somewhere, the Evil Twin gum.
Begone Evil Twin. Four pieces for you, four for your Evil Twin. Save thousands of dollars on holy water, imported voodoo specialists, and embarrassing exorcisms. Say goodbye to grumpy moods, demonic PMs, and untimely possessions. Permanently close the gates to hell.
That's powerful gum.
Yeah, very good. So you're saying someone could come and they could, maybe we'll give them any one of these?
Yeah.
All of them? No, we're not going to give someone all these
sets of gum. Of course, there was a pre-order minimum, so now I have like 400 packs of gum.
So we have a lot of packs. So hopefully, if you come to the PodCamp,
you'll get a pack.
Yeah. Now, what if people are listening to this after the PodCamp?
I'm going to set aside. I actually set aside.
We have some set aside.
I set aside how many sets? 10 sets of gum, I believe it is.
Six sets.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Didn't I?
10 different kinds, but how many sets?
10 different kinds of
4 sets of
Yeah, four sets.
Four sets.
Four sets of gum. So I'm saving these 40 packs.
So you're saying that maybe someone in the future, we may have a contest of some sort.
Exactly.
For people to get the gum. Here's your gum.
Someone in the future, in a future contest,
yes,
will actually get a pack of this gum. The whole set of this gum. The entire set.
A gum set.
A gum set.
All right. So basically,
I'm saving these.
All right. So basically, if you missed the PodCamp, you may still be able to get this gum.
Right, and Frank is going to autograph each piece.
I'm going to take a Sharpie and write on each piece of gum. Yes.
So here we go.
I could do that. All right.
Go ahead.
So I think it's time for our the movie trailers.
Yes,
four movie trailers.
I have to always, of course, guess.
Yes,
which one is the real one?
Yeah, trying to find some opening music for this. You know,
I thought you had one.
Yeah, here we go. Piss poor movie trailers. What?
What the hell is that?
Sound effect for the opening of the great thing, and I
a cuckoo clack mixed with flatulence. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Hold on, I got to bring the movie trailers up here. Hold on 1 second.
Well, I can't wait for this.
Fill in for a second while I bring up the movie trailer.
Fill in for a second.
Yeah, like say something or something. I don't know. Say some stuff. Like, you know how we keep saying stuff on the show? Just say some stuff.
I ran into the alien abductors the other day.
Oh, really? The alien...
abductress, yes.
The girl that was abducted by aliens.
Leia, Princess Leia.
Princess Leia, yeah. What was up with her?
She was at the salon, you know, washing hair. Just got back.
From space?
I don't know where she came from, man. You know, but, you know, when I saw her, though, she looked a little scarier than I last remembered her. So something has happened to her since last time she was on the show. But she was very happy, and she thanked you profusely for the gift that we sent her.
Oh, really? Great. Yes.
That blaster pistol. It's going to come in handy.
Oh, yeah.
Someday. So I sent her.
Well, she did shoot one stormtrooper before she got stunned. No? Star Wars?
Was it?
No,
is that what happened?
Didn't she shoot one and then she got... There's one set for stun. All right, here we go. The Green Slime. We're going to start with The Green Slime.
This is a movie?
Hold on. I got to get my bells ready here. Yeah.
Bells are...
No, the pinball machine's not it.
So... All right.
I don't know where my bells went.
So, Green Slime is the name of the movie?
Yeah, The Green The Green Slime.
Why is everyone? Why are all these piss poor movie trailers horror films?
They're not all horror films. Come on.
Okay.
Some of them aren't.
All right.
I think I lost my bell, but whatever. We'll deal with it. Hopefully, it'll be wrong. I lost my bell.
Go ahead.
Here we go. The Green Slime. So the idea is there's three choices, and Mike has to choose which one is the right
actual
one.
Real
and you
movie.
Can play along at home.
All right.
The Green Slime. Option number one, a groovy new slimy toy that comes in a little garbage can, comes to life and kills. Right? So that may have been the basis of that toy we talked about.
Okay, yep.
The Green Slime, option number two, an Old West snake oil salesman steals a slimy substance from an embattled Indian tribe and sells it in a local town, getting on the wrong side of a band of gunslingers until the true nature of the mixture causes disaster. Okay?
Yeah.
And option three, astronauts blow up an asteroid headed for Earth but unknowingly bring evil aliens back to the space station. So,
it sounds too convincing. It's got to be number two.
Number two?
Yeah.
No,
oh! Number three.
The astronauts. Here we go. This is from 1968, The Green Slime.
There was a lot of bad movies in 67, 68, man. Were there any? They were really bad.
Yeah, here we go.
So, you know what? We'll let the whole thing play because we usually talk over it.
Yeah.
And then we'll review it when we're done, what's happening. So, people get to see it later on, but I wanted them to hear, let them hear the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, as long as there's not parts where there's like a lot of things written on the screen. Or
okay.
All right. Well, here we go. Here we go.
The lonely, helpless Earth. The 21st century. The world of the future.
Oh, man. God.
And lurking beyond the cold, strange immensity of conquered space, growing and spreading beyond the warped imagination of the greatest human intellect, exploding in unspeakable horror, the Green Slime.
Oh, God.
A civilized world at war with alien forms whose slimy touch means instant, horrible death. Invaders from beyond the stars. The Green Slime. Robert Horton. Luciana Paluzzi. Richard Jacob.
You make too many mistakes. You're not right for command.
This is my command, and I'll manage it.
Two men struggle for survival in the infected remains of a diseased universe. One woman searches for a last chance to save the human race from the desperate hunger of the Green Slime.
Space station infested by creatures. Look, special effects is so bad.
This is horrendous.
They're out in space.
A battle in space against faceless beings.
Oh God, this is horrible.
These guys are flying
into the incredible berserk world of
the berserk world.
Green slime.
Green slime.
Why is there like a punk? Groovy, man. Groovy. Green slime. Groovy.
The green slime. Rated G.
Rated G?
What?
How can that be rated G?
It's rated G. You can watch that on your TiVo. So there you go. That was rated G.
I love how the Luciana, whatever her name is, takes the hospital bed.
Yeah.
And heaves it at the green slime to stop it from attacking the hapless the patients in the beds. That had to be the worst special effects. I mean,
horrible.
It's like guys on like harness belts being hurled around like indiscriminately around trying to fight these.
And literally,
things.
These are like the worst like rubber aliens you ever saw. You know,
and like they're like faceless aliens. They have faces.
They have like an eye. Yeah, yeah.
So that was bad. So
that was terrible.
And then of course, it's gotta be the groovy hip green slime.
Yes. End. All right. The All next right. one. Now, sometimes you can sort of figure out sort of what the movie is based on the name, but I don't know about this one. Here we go. Here's the title.
Okay.
The Incredibly Strange Creatures Who Stopped Living and Became Mixed Up Zombies. Okay.
Well, that's the name of a movie?
Yes. The name of the movie is The Incredibly Strange Creatures Who Stopped Living and Became Mixed Up Zombies. So here are your three choices. Number one, creatures who are incredibly strange become mixed up zombies because they have stopped living. Okay. Option number two, mixed up zombies stop living and therefore become incredibly strange creatures. Or option number three, zombies being incredibly strange are mixed up creatures in that they stop living. So which one?
I don't know what the hell you just said.
Those are just your three options for the movie The Incredibly Strange Creatures that stopped living and who stopped living and became mixed up zombies. So what is your choice?
I don't know. And three.
Correct.
Three is correct.
I don't have my bell.
So I got.
Yeah, there you go.
So I got the right.
You got that correct.
I got that one correct.
Yes, zombies being incredibly strange are mixed up creatures in that they stop living. Here we go. The incredibly strange creatures who stop living and become mixed up zombies. Here is the trailer.
Incredible is the word for the world's first monster musical. See in magnificent Eastman color the daring, dancing, enticing, and horrifying. The incredibly strange creatures who stop living and became mixed up zombies. Who is the woman branded in birth wearing the Wart of Horror? The world's
Wart of Horror
monster musical. The incredibly strange creatures who stopped living and became mixed up.
This has got to be the worst movie ever made.
There you go.
That movie had to be. I don't care what they say about Plan 9 from Outer Space. That has got to be the worst film I've ever seen in that 30-second clip.
I mean, that's from 1964, by the way.
That looked like Elizabeth Taylor.
I don't know who that it looked like. I don't think it was, though. Could she have actually been in The Incredibly Strange Creatures who stopped living and became
Richard Jekyll Richard Jackal, whatever his name was very known well-known actor later on.
In The Green Slime, yeah.
Green Slime. But
that is a good movie, though. The Incredibly Strange Creatures.
I mean, the title alone is impossible to say. I mean, how many people actually paid money to see that? I want to interview somebody that actually in 1964 went and saw that film and paid money for it, a quarter or whatever it was at the time. To see that movie.
I'm sure they really liked it.
Let's go. Hey, honey, I got a groovy idea. Let's go see The Incredibly Strange Creatures mixed up whatever the hell it was. Yeah. To him, zombies. What the hell was that? You know?
Oh. No, Elizabeth Taylor's not in this movie. It looked like her, but she's definitely not. Oh. There's no...
No name brand.
No people name people in
their thing.
Joan Stillman, Sharon Walsh. No.
No.
No. I wonder if is it available? Let's see. It is available on DVD. Look at that.
Look at that.
We should get it.
Yeah.
You want to get it?
Yeah, we'll worry about that later.
$17.99
for that?
Yeah.
He didn't make that much in the theater when it came out. $17.99.
It looks like Mystery Science Theater also did it.
Did it also?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you for that, Frank.
Yes,
for that.
Yes.
This has been another episode of...
The Anything But Monday Show. No, what?
With the piss poor movie trailers.
Piss poor movie trailers. All right, let's take a quick musical break. And we will be back in a moment. When I find my music here. Hold on a second. Where's the music?
Of course, you'll be taking care of all that later
yes,
on.
Yes, of course. Here we go.
This is a true story, y'all. Listen up. Me and my baby, we was down at Duke's. We was having ourselves a drink or two of jam. That's when my baby, she grabbed my hand, she said...
All right, here we are, we're back. Welcome back.
Yes.
Yes.
And, as you know, I've been working feverishly over the last six episodes, now to the seventh episode, to come up with a new name for myself.
Oh, yes, Mike's new names.
And it's become a popular feature, and people have been writing in different things. And not too many this week. I've added a couple, but...
A couple new names?
You know, I bring it up only because Becky... chimed in with a few names, and of course now Frank's getting into the act. I have to drag Frank into it.
Yes, I'm gonna have new names too.
Yeah, so Frank has new names too. We got a name last week for Frank, which was what was the name that he came up with you for? Some kind of accident name. You were whatever accident name it was for you.
I don't. I'm completely drawing a blank.
What is with this,
Mr. McSpilly or something?
No, that wasn't it.
I'm drawing a blank.
Anyway, she came up with ones for us. But anyway, yeah. Becky came up with the names for us. She called both of us Piss and Moan. You're obviously Piss.
I'm Piss and you're Moan.
Obviously. And I thought some good names for me. I had some of the ones I thought, based on what's happening, I think I should. What if I call myself Rerun? No, okay. Yeah. How about this one? Grunt Vestibule. Grunt Vestibule. The
wee bell. I lost my bell. This is my new bell.
What the hell? It sounds like the xylophone, the last key in the xylophone.
I can't find that damn bell I had
last week. It sounds like a half-paralyzed kid trying to hit the last key of a xylophone.
It's completely...
Right, it's totally par for the course for the show. Perfect. It's that limp-ass whatever thing.
All right, what else do you have?
How about Moses Phenobola? And now with this one, I know you're going to love this one.
Yeah.
Kermit Smacks.
Kermit Smacks. I like that one.
You like that one?
That gets two bells.
Kermit Smacks.
Kermit Smacks.
You know, like a Sugar Smacks cereal?
Yeah.
Frog theme, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Kermit Smacks. I am Kermit Smacks.
Well, I'm going to check the meter. Kellogg's right away, or Post, whatever that
company was. Right away. Yeah. Those are just a few for this week, not a lot.
Now, you mentioned, Becky said our names are piss and moan, because right. I know we do complain a lot on this show, right?
We don't complain.
Both of us do a lot of complaining and we're moaning and pissing and moaning.
I never complain, Becky, so stop it. You know,
we are always complaining. But anyway, I found this article from, I think it was from People Magazine. And there's a guy who actually has done something about all the complaining done in this world, right?
Right.
This is a Missouri pastor, Will Bowen, has created a new wristband. You know the whole wristband craze?
Yeah.
Everyone wears wristbands. Oh, okay. Here he is.
God.
Okay. If you want to make the world a better place, says Pastor Will Bowen, just quit your whining. Everyone across the board can agree that there's too much kvetching, Bowen says. So last summer...
Farewell and adieu to you fair Spanish ladies.
What the hell is that? So last summer, the 47-year-old clergyman challenged his flock at Christ Church Unity in Kansas City, Missouri, to start looking on the brighter side for 21 days straight. How? He handed out a purple plastic bracelet, and each time a person groused or gossiped, he had to switch the bracelet to the other wrist and start the 3 weeks countdown over again.
Oh!
So we should try this. A purple band. It says a complaintfreeworld.org. Okay, you want to get these wristbands? We can order them from the pastor. And for 21 days, you cannot complain about anything. What do you think?
I can't for 21 days?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm going to log and complain right now about the stupid article.
You know? And there's, you know, when they have the article, they have a little call out, the little quote. Here's a quote. There's way too much complaining in the world.
Frank.
What?
Frank, isn't there, like, anything better from people in middle America to do that come up with this crap? These are the people that vote for George Bush right now.
Yeah, definitely.
That are coming up with these fucking wristbands.
Christ Church in Kansas City. Yeah. But it hasn't always been easy, Bowen said. He himself broke three bracelets over 4 months, mostly dealing with complaints about the church before hitting the 3 week mark. So he had a few complaints about the church, but so one complaint, you have to reset that 3 weeks. It's ridiculous.
Oh, it's horrible.
So but look at on the other side of the page though. This looks damn tasty. Life chocolate oat crunch cereal. Look at that. You know, I ripped the page out of the magazine. Life chocolate oat crunch.
Wasn't at one time Life a health cereal?
Yeah.
Now it's chocolate oat crunch.
Chocolate crunch with oat clusters. Oh, nice. God. So there you go. We're going to try to stop complaining so much. Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay. Then we'll have no show.
Yeah.
Go on. And now it's time for our very popular feature. As always.
Yes, as always. It's a popular feature, and it has a musical introduction, which is... this.
You're just totally...
What? We're getting it. And now, here on the Anything But Monday show, it is time for your horoscope.
Aquarius, get going with your new PBS kids show, Ambrose the Polearm. Count all the water molecules in Hudson Bay. A friend will mate with ravens. Learn the difference between crud and crap.
Pisces, your nationwide campaign to have all states start with the letter Y is getting off to a bad start, especially in California, Massachusetts, and Texas. School board bulletins can be really groovy. Make clay impressions of the butts of bitchin' babes. Travel plans are hindered when an enormous slab of iron ore melds with your spine.
Aries, yes, you can get your car painted the exact color of the Java sand scroller. Seek Ferbata, the black citrus. Leo will fall to earth as a 1,000-foot-tall lion and kick your ass. Study the lowly parsnip.
Taurus, white out the Bible. Dust off that cassette warrior Halloween costume from the mid-80s. In love, a series of sharp thrusting motions should help your relationship. No, an American Indian labyrinth is not called a corn.
Gemini, use clairvoyance to locate the Perrier gas station. Dawn brings tiny candy cane-colored porcupine quill-covered dirigibles into your bedroom. Jolt the sponge version of yourself. Have the Zaxxon burger.
Cancer. French fry a honeydew melon. The alignment of Jovian forces allows you to withdraw huge amounts of cash from your ATM by whistling Bee Gees tunes. You are the Toronto Raptor. Jay is more eviler than Hitler.
Leo. If you act like enough of an idiot, they will throw you out of the bowling alley. Humidify Ben and Jerry. When the world gives you lemons, make love, not war. Meet the mass transit opossum.
Virgo, dimension travel-induced spontaneous self-implosion may cause trouble in your personal life. You'll never know if your hovercraft can climb Niagara Falls until you try. You are the eighth form of pure carbon. No, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers are not Rangers in the strict AD&D sense.
Libra, put a relish in your phone bill. Lay waste to ancient Rome with nothing but an AK-47 and a Jeep Wrangler. Rent bad live-action Disney movies forevermore. Inhale snowball steam on the 4th of July.
Scorpio, calculate the lifespan of the genetically combined zebra redwood cuttlefish. Rare event is slow this week. Plaster your ceiling with grape bubblegum, then stick peak freens on it. Lambaste the unfortunate Seneca.
Sagittarius, emulate the Norwegian phone system in your personal life. Cammy isn't answering your fan mail, not because she hates you, but because she's a fictional video game character. You're just copying Pearl Jam in your personal crusade against Ticketmaster. No, you don't need the cats of the Nazis chess set.
Capricorn, your secret middle name is Roland. Ralva Haxahaven Stonefort is your home away from home and Woods Accessible Alternate Reality MQ-35. Wisps of incense from the 13th century might constantly teleport into a 3-foot radius around you, but you can't blame your personal problems on this. Contradict Eunice. And that is your horoscope for today. The, I have it written down. Today, Monday, April 2nd, 2007. Hello. Hello. Okay, I must admit, this is a bit dated. Of course, we have references to Pearl Jam's crusade against Ticketmaster. Okay.
Yeah,
well, what were some of the other dated
references? Zaxxon.
Have the Zaxxon burger. That could be current. You know, they could have a video game themed hamburger promotion.
An AD&D fence?
Advanced Dungeons & Dragons.
That's like, how many versions ago?
That's the current version, AD&D.
No, it's not.
What is it now? Dungeons & Dragons 2?
It's more like 3.5. Why do I know all these things about Dungeons & Dragons?
I don't know.
Go ahead.
Peak Freens, no, those are current.
Yeah.
What else? No, otherwise, it was pretty current.
I don't even know. I don't even, what's a war event?
War event is just a made-up word. I don't know. Oh, and then Cammy from the Street Fighter series, yeah.
Yeah, okay, great.
She's one of my favorites. Thanks for listening to this segment. All right, what's next? Do we have anything else? Are we done?
I wish we weren't. Thank you for that, Frank. Thank you for that.
So, what do you think? Time for the interview next?
Yeah, I think we should do the interview. Do we do the interview next?
Yes.
Anyone to cover before we got to the interview?
I think we're going to do the interview next.
Yeah.
Do you think
who's on our show? I didn't get to share how I lost a testicle in a tragic cheese grating accident.
Oh, man.
I'll have to save that for the next show.
Save that for next time.
I'll leave that for the next time. Okay.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else we wanted to update here.
Well, we talked about the PodCamp, and we talked about...
we talked about many things. So now we're going to go to our interview, and it's going to be with a great individual. You will hear all about it in a moment.
Who is this person? I should be prepared. I don't know who's on our show.
It's the mystery guest.
It's
okay?
It's a mystery guest?
Yes.
I don't know who. We are not sure which guest it's going to be. Is that what it is?
It's a mystery guest, yes.
Okay.
So here we go.
This mystery guest is going to be really good.
For the mystery guest. We are back.
You dick!
We're back, and we have a guest. We have our guest. Yeah. We've determined our guest.
Yeah.
And our guest is our program director, Dave. Hello, Dave!
Why do I feel like this just happened?
Hey, what's going on?
Why do I feel like this happened?
It's called deja vu. Live with it, okay? It's a little thing called deja vu.
You know.
And it's a common phenomenon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, it's... You'll be all right. Anyway, we're here with our program director, Dave. You are our guest. So welcome, Dave, to the show. How are things going out there in California?
Did I call you a dick yet?
Yes, you did. You already did.
All right, guys. Want to make sure.
Yeah. So how are things going out there in California?
Things are going pretty good, man. But you know what? I got a bone to pick with you guys, actually.
Really?
All right, good. Maybe the show will pick up. Go ahead.
Yes.
Well, okay. Well, you know, last show, you guys had the official list.
Yeah.
And I don't know how, as the program director,
you got on that list.
Consulted.
Oh.
as you go through the official list.
Oh, I have it over here. Wait a minute. Yep.
Huh?
I have the list. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I don't know how you guys are going to go ahead and do an official list without consulting with me.
Yes.
I'm going to send you like an interoffice memo on this.
Yeah.
But since I got you on the phone now, I'll just like, you know, what's up with that? You guys can't just go off and do that, you know, on your own.
Well, we have a lot of openings.
I got a problem with some of your picks too, as a matter of fact.
Well, what you didn't like?
Well, I first of all, I didn't like the official body part. What I think was the medulla oblongata.
Hey, what's wrong with that?
And I really feel it should be the fallopian tube.
The fallopian tube?
The left or the right?
The fallopian tubes.
The left fallopian tube.
Let me just do the
really okay.
The fallopian tube.
Well, there's two fallopian tubes. There's a left and a right.
We call them fallopian tubes. All right.
Yeah, but then that would be two body parts.
That's not two body parts. It's one body part.
You can't say the official body part, the arms. That's two things. the ears is the body part.
You're calling me a liar.
Yes, I am.
What are you calling me?
Yes, you are a liar, sir. Yeah. You have to choose the left or the right fallopian tube. And what's wrong with the eustachian tubes?
Yeah, I know what he's going to get to. I know what he's going to get to next.
Hey, Frank, when you're talking tubes, man, yeah, it's fallopian or nothing at all.
All right, so you're not down with eustachian. All right, so what else did you like on there?
Listen, I also have a big problem with your pick for your official 80s girl band.
What?
What's wrong with the... what's wrong with
Bananarama? Is there's no doubt about it. That has
That's
to
right.
be it.
You guys said it was Bananarama.
Yeah.
And, you know, as the program director, I believe I'm going to have to, like, overrule that.
Really?
And have to go with...
With what?
Yes, I am.
Well, you know, Dave is a scholar of 80s music.
Really?
You cannot play an 80s song that was pop music, and he will not... He will know the band and who sang it.
What song is better than Cruel Summer, though? There's no song better than that.
So what girl band would you pick?
We can go into that in a minute. But the official girl band of the... You'll agree with this, Mike, because I'm going to jog your memory. The official 80s girl band of the interview show is, of course, the Bangles.
Oh, those guys are fast!
The Bangles?
Bangles have one song that is like the best song ever, but beyond that, you know...
What, Walking Egyptian?
Yeah, but other than that, what do they have?
No, I don't know why Dave's talking about this. So, Dave, why don't you tell people the story of the Bangles concert? Because that's what he's referring to. Let our listeners know about the Bangles concert.
Bangles concert, all right.
Okay, well, as much as I'm embarrassed to admit this, I attended the Bangles concert back in the 80s, 1989, I think, or something like that, when they were at the music of their popularity, or whatever you want to call it. And so you're on the hook there too, Mike.
Yeah, I was with you.
And I forgot how I got tickets.
I think we're having some technical difficulties here. You're sort of breaking up here.
Why?
There's like a data issue.
You guys are kind of...
Is it a data issue?
Can you hear us?
I hear you, but you're faint. You sound like you're down a well.
Hold on.
We're blaring on this end.
I know.
Are you really?
Yeah, did you fix the problem?
I don't know.
Dave, go ahead. Can you hear me now?
Say something.
Dave?
Yes, I can hear you now, but you still sound pretty faint.
All right, he sounds better, though, now.
Yeah. You sound better?
No,
yeah.
You sound better, Mike, actually.
Okay. Frank's going to have an editing nightmare with this show. This is the worst week to have an editing nightmare on, and he's going to have an editing nightmare. I'm going to be hearing about it all week long.
There is no nightmare. It's all going out.
It's going out the way it is.
Yeah, we don't edit this show.
Well, take four. Mike talking. Mike and Frank talking to Dave in California. Take four. Yeah, all we should play the unedited versions of this. There'll be a special
that
one.
It's been deleted. All right. All right. So Dave, continue. I you were breaking up really bad before, but I think it's okay now. So
Dave, you're talking about the Bangles concert. Yeah. You somehow got tickets to a Bangles concert, and I was going to go with you.
I get these tickets to the Bangles concert last minute.
Where do we go from? Where were we? Where did you get and pick me up from to go to the Bangles concert? Do you remember?
I don't even remember. Where did I pick you up? Where did I pick you up from, Mike?
I was at Shooters.
You were at Shooters?
You guys remember at Shooters?
Really?
Yeah.
What?
What exactly is Shooters?
No. What is Shooters?
Yeah. Let's give you an idea. There was often a sign out on the highway above this place called Best Hooters at Shooters.
What?
Give an idea about that place. We were there.
No. You have the story confused, man.
Did I go there? We went there afterwards. Did we go there afterwards?
That was afterwards.
Oh, man. We went there.
Yeah, we were like first of all, okay. We were like the only two heterosexual males at the show.
At the Bangles concert.
And I forgot how I got tickets, but we got tickets. It was kind of like a goof. let us go to the Bengals concert. And so Mike and I go. We have to schlep into Manhattan
with your car,
the Beacon Theater,
with your car.
Yeah,
with two sticks two sticks of gas left in it. You know what?
I used to put like 79 cents worth of gas in my car, and I would get unbelievable mileage. I could drive for like a day and a half.
Yeah, but we used 80 cents worth of gas. But the expression was, it was one of those digital gauges, and it had like, you know, the little lines. You know,
yeah,
and it was like, you know, the sticks, we called them sticks. They were like, each line indicated how much gas.
Yeah.
So we go, how many sticks of gas you got left? And it was like, he was like driving around like one or two sticks of gas all the time. So we get in there.
Occasionally I would run out of gas, but I used to get phenomenal mileage out of, like, you know, a dollar's worth of gas. I would pull in and I'd get like a dollar's worth. But anyway, so we go into Manhattan, and it's at the Beacon Theater, and we're running late, and we're cutting through Central Park or whatever, and we're like, we're not going to make it or whatever. So we wound up parking in a bus stop. Remember that, Mike? There were like all these cars.
Yeah.
Lined up, and we were like, is this a bus stop? And you know, we didn't care because we were like, you know, we're going to miss the show or whatever. There's other cars here.
We're not going to be here long. We'll park in a bus stop. It's late at night. What difference does it make if you park in a bus stop? You know, so we parked the car in a bus stop and ran to the theater.
Yeah.
In Manhattan.
No problems there.
Right.
So we go to the show. Like I said, we're like it's full of like teenage girls and gay guys.
With lighters. With lighters.
During Eternal Flame.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, so we go to this show, and we come out, and we go back to the bus stop, and every single car that was parked in front of us is
towed.
Gone.
Towed. Towed.
And I just know, like,
no, there was a tow truck. There was a tow truck. There was an army of tow trucks pulling people away.
And your car was next?
Yeah, we were next in line.
Oh yeah.
We go, and we jumped in the car and got out of
We booked the hell out of there.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, this is probably unprecedented. We're probably the only two guys who ever, like, went to a Bengals show and they wound up at a strip joint. So,
yeah.
Mike, why did we end up going there?
Because I was so impressed the fact that I was, like, what was I seeing? I wasn't dating a stripper at the time or whatever it was. I was, you know, whatever. You know, I whatever, yeah. Met, know her, and then, you know, in a biblical sense, I guess. And I said, Dave, you got to see this woman who dances and does this routine, you know, there. And I wanted to show her off to him. And he's like,
where is this now? I think Bengals? You knew one of the Bengals?
No, it wasn't a Bengals. It wasn't the Bengals weren't a stripper. There was a woman.
We tried back across the bridge or through the tunnel and back to the Jersey
Club. Oh, now you're at Shooters?
Yeah.
Okay. And now that's a strip club.
Yeah.
What town was that?
And you were dating one of the girls.
It's a sports bar. I wasn't dating her. You know, the time we were just seeing. It was just like, you know, whatever.
Having sex with her?
Name?
I hate to admit that. What?
I don't remember her name? Can we say her name?
Her name was her. No, she went by the name. Her stage name?
Yeah,
Nikki T.
Nikki T.
No, her real name.
We're not gonna go into her real name on the show. His name is Nikki.
You
it was Nikki T. That was her name.
Like nicotine?
Okay.
No, I think it was Nikkit. Nikki T was her name.
Nikki T.
Yeah, and then, but her whole routine was that she did a Hot for Teacher. Remember Van Halen's Hot for Teacher?
Yeah.
Yeah, that
song? And she dressed up as a librarian.
She could do headstands and handstands. I was like so impressed.
And she dressed she came out dressed like a librarian with those really, you know, mousy glasses on, her hair up in a bun with a ruler.
Oh, yeah.
And she used to run around.
Video.
And she used to walk around like with a ruler and smacking people with the ruler. She went by and doing this whole thing. And she came over. And Dave goes, "What did you say after I showed you who she was? You were like, I'm so envious of you. What were you saying?"
I don't remember, man. The whole night was just like it was basically we were there just to like reaffirm our sexuality
after the Bengals
concert. we were feeling so like. Oh. Yeah, that was right.
No, but remember, she could do like headstands and handstands. Yeah, and I was like, wow, man, this is like.
I just thought that was very flexible.
Amazing.
Very flexible, like Gumby.
Yeah. Yes.
You're very flexible.
Yeah. And Frank, by the way,
yeah.
I end up driving home alone. Mike left with her.
Oh,
that's
really?
Why I stayed there. I forgot about that. You can leave me here. She goes, I'll take care of him.
Wow.
Oh, those are the good old days.
Now, this was back in the 80s or
what
was it?
Yeah, early 80s or
early
something.
Early 80s.
Like 89.
Yeah. 89. I don't know what it was. Yeah, it was after my wife broke up with me the first time. I wonder why. Get out to work together.
Wait, 89? Wasn't that when we were doing the magazine and stuff?
Or
was that,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Right after
oh, that's when we hated each other.
Yeah. What's changed after this? After this show? You know, so anyway, yes, it is that. So, Frank, so Dave, actually, any more on this official list? I know there's a lot of official.
Yeah, I got one more. Yeah. I've been working on a couple of a lot of additions actually to the official list.
Well, I'm sure you're still mad at the fact that you're the official scapegoat.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm very upset about that. We're going to have to discuss that in Friday.
We got to blame somebody. We're not going to blame each other. We have to blame somebody. It's got to be you. You're the program director.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well. How about, can't we just, like, pick an arbitrary person that we, you know, that...
dump everything on?
Blame, like, Tibor or somebody? I don't care.
Yeah.
But, no, one more, one thing I do want to mention right now, though, I'll give you the additions I have, but we have to have an official B-movie actress of the end of the Monday show.
The official B-movie actress?
Yeah.
Who would that be?
The official B-movie actress of the end of the Monday show.
Okay.
And I'm torn.
I have one that comes right to mind as soon as you said that.
Well, wait. Now here are the picks. Here are the two picks. The official B movie actress of the Annie Monday show is either going to be Sybil Danning or Randy Brooks.
I think you were going to say Randy Brooks. I had her down.
Now, who are these people?
Randy Brooks from Hamburger the Movie. Remember that?
Yeah, Randy Brooks.
We had a poster.
Sybil Danning, of course, was in Young Lady Chatterley 2.
She was in the best movie, one of the best movies of all times, Frank. Reform School Girls.
Reform School Girls.
With Wendy O. Williams of the Plasmatics.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember seeing a trailer for that, perhaps.
Reform School.
She was also in Chained Heat. Remember that?
And Chained Heat. Yes, all the prison
women in prison movies. Yeah, man.
Is there a better genre?
Yeah, I think we got to go with...
Is there a better genre of film of women in prison movies?
Yeah.
I don't think there is.
Like Caged Women. Heat,
yeah, all right.
Reform School Girls.
So we'll give it to Sybil Danning. Sybil Danning is the official B-movie actress.
Sybil Danning. Well, what about Randy Brooks? Remember, you know, she was like in Hamburger the Movie.
She was in a lot of those movies, but nobody remembers any movie she was in, you know. So
I don't think anyone's ever spoken her name in the last decades, probably.
I mean, what is she, like 50?
She's selling real estate now. We should get her on the show. She's selling real estate, like in Portland or something.
How do you know that?
I'm up on my
seriously, you should quiz Dave. He can come up the answer to any 80s pop song. He knows the name and the group. Like, I can name that tune in 5 notes. He knows it. I play him songs. Like, I'm driving along in my car with the XM going.
Yeah.
An 80s song comes on. I call him up. He listens to it. That's blah, blah, blah. And it's the most obscure band, one-hit wonder. He knows who they are. Pick one.
How about the band that does a, I think it's either their song or their album is A Fierce Pancake.
A Fierce what?
A Fierce Pancake.
You gotta play the song.
That's so obscure. There's no way.
A Squeeze record or something? I don't know.
No, but it is a one word that starts with S.
Yeah. play a song at least. Play some song from the 80s and I bet you he'll get it.
I don't think there's any way to find this song. It's a group called Stump. A Fierce Pancake. Stump. Yes. The most obscure thing I can think of.
Is that a pop song, Frank?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. All right. It is.
All right. Frank has a very questionable music. If I listen to, you know, what the last show, he was talking about Laurie Anderson.
Yeah.
Great.
He's the best.
And,
Duran.
Alan Parsons. And I was
I see Alan Parsons, I heard today, doing Eye in the Sky.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a good one.
So,
But, of course, Laurie Anderson is the best, you know, with this song.
No, not again. Not again. Get that off.
Yes.
Get that off.
Yeah.
Say hello to my little friend.
Get it off. All right. So, Dave, this is big.
Laurie Anderson. Wait. Laurie Anderson, Suzanne Vega, or Martika, Mike?
Laurie Anderson, Suzanne Vega, or Martika? Oh, Martika. It's hard. You know why? Because Laurie Anderson is much more obscure and has a lot less chance of annoying. Martika just must die. You know, I mean, she's just one of those people that had to die, you know, so.
Mike, play Toy Soldier by Martika.
Oh.
Let's see if we have Martika here.
Martika, wasn't there a cartoon in one of the magazines? Martika saves the world.
That's who we should get on this show.
Martika? Yeah, I'm sure she's up to a lot right now.
Let me write that down. I'm going to write that down. Yeah,
Here it is.
And Dave won't be able to hear this because of our audio setup, but we can hear Martika's Toy Soldiers. He was very popular in the 80s for about a month.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huge hit.
Huge hit.
There you go. A little sample of Toy Soldiers by Martika. And that's it.
Oh, it was horrible.
Very good. So what did you guys want to talk about?
I'm
the guest.
I have a bone to pick.
I'm done bitching about the official list.
What
did you need from me?
Dave, as you know, Dave, because we've been friends for a long time, and often when black people do things that I don't understand, I come to you for explanation because I'm always perplexed. Yes. I'm usually perplexed. So you try to set me straight. Okay, so I'm minding my own business. I'm visiting this potential client in Manhattan the other day, you know. And this is an office of a gay dentist. Okay, I know he's gay because he loves seeing me when I come in all the time. I mean, he's got a life partner, the whole thing.
Okay.
And you know, he's got the really Manhattan, you know, office on the West Side and all that kind of, you know, that kind of style. So of course, the only magazine he's got in there is Details Magazine. Okay.
Details Magazine.
Yeah. If you've heard of Details Magazine, you know, it's got all, it's like a, I don't know what it's got, but it's got all kinds of, it's very, got that New York slant to it of like style and, you know, all that kind of things like that. All very New York, right? So I'm sitting there a few minutes, I page through this and I come across this article. All right. And here's the title of the article, Dave. It's called Meet the Mandingos.
Yeah. Meet the Mandingos.
Yes. They're gentlemen in the street, thugs in the bedroom, and your wife's steamiest fantasy. All right.
What?
So here, this is how the article starts out, this is a big underground movement that's all over the country. This is just about one group called the Mandingos. All right, this is how it starts. Jeff didn't always like black guys. He was prejudiced. He admits it. As one of the few white kids at a school in the southeast of Washington D.C., he fought with a lot of black kids and was occasionally beaten up. When he later ran a string of gas stations, he was robbed. A black guy held a gun to his head and pulled the trigger, but the gun didn't go off. Honestly, that experience helped me a lot, he says. I used to be very conservative. I didn't spend much money. Now I enjoy life. I'm much more open, especially sexually. All right, so this is basically what it is now. This sets up the story. So basically, it's a measure of how far he's come that Jeff, not his real name, now 40, is telling me this while we're watching a black guy have sex with his wife, Amber, not her real name, 37, at an interracial orgy, okay, in Jeff's house, okay, on his bed. The man screwing Jeff's wife is Branford, not his real name, a 30-year-old massage therapist who's not holding back. This isn't lovemaking. It's a proper pounding. Forget Amber. This is just how Jeff likes it. Okay? So in some way, this is like what happens is these guys that have a lot of money pay these young black guys to screw their wives. It's a whole organization.
I wonder where the hell you were going with this.
This whole thing, I was like, it's like this crazy-ass society that people go there. And they spend money on these, and what is this whole sex thing that they all, it's like an orgy type of thing, or you pay these businessmen pay money for these black guys to do their wives in front of them. You know, it's crazy. This is how the story goes on. I mean, let's see, Amber's two boys, to the woman, Amber's two boys, 11 and 13, have been shipped off to their grandparents' house. How thoughtful of them. And the rooms have been suitably modified. The posters are off the wall, the clothes have been put away, and the light bulbs have been changed to red. By 8 p.m., the incense is lit, the jacuzzi's bubbling, and the DJ is spinning Sean Paul and Jay-Z by the swimming pool. Within an hour or so, the guests arrive. 23 white couples and 3 black couples. All of them are here specifically to have sex with single black men, often a decade or two their junior. All right, there are 12 such men in the house tonight. They call themselves Mandingos, and this is a Mandingo party. All right? And this whole, you have to read this article online. If you go to details.com for all our listeners.
Yeah.
It's totally twisted and sick. All right, what's happening here in this whole thing, you know? But basically,
these Mandingos, do they get paid a lot of money for this?
I thought of it as a career opportunity for you. I actually thought about this because I said, John,
yeah, they earn some part time money there.
There is a part time thing. That's what these guys do. They all have.
They're looking to hire.
I would do it. I've seen it. You make a lot of money with this whole thing, you know. You know, but this is it. This is what the whole thing is. You know, if you read the story, it talks about these different. Like, these women resemble Kathy Bates more than they do Kathy Ireland.
Kathy Bates?
Yeah, that's what they say. These women that they do, okay, they resemble Kathy Bates more than they do. They had that picture of a woman here with her back toward the camera, you know, and with this other black guy. You can't tell, but you can tell this woman ain't no beauty, right? But But it says these women resemble Kathy Bates more than they do Kathy Ireland. As they hover around the snacks on the kitchen table, the mandingos mill among them in their silk pajamas. And almost instantly, while the women's mild-mannered husbands chat about real estate and the PGA, the games begin. Hands roll from chicken wings to breasts, from chips to hips, from guac to cock. One couple grind by the sink and feed each other meatballs. Husbands and wives start slinking off with their chosen mandingos. The party has begun its carnal ebb and flow between...
Wait. The husbands are going with mandingos, too?
Are you sure this was detailed and
this is,
not penthouse letters?
I swear to God. Like, dude, you should see this article is God knows how many pages long. And just then they have the feedback, like right feedback on this article. The people are outraged.
But Mike, you read this article, right?
Yeah.
It said the husbands and wives go off with these black men.
They do.
Is that what they're saying? So it's a bisexual, multiracial orgy.
It's some kind of crazy ass thing.
And this
man.
Is in California?
This was in Florida, but apparently there's things like this around the country.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Bye.
There's just an obsession with black culture. I think that's pretty prevalent in America right now. Everybody wants to be black until the cops show up. You know, that's the way I feel about that. You know.
Yeah, that's what
everybody
it is.
You got white kids. You got these white kids, suburban kids. You know, they're pulling their pants half off their ass, and they're listening to hip hop and doing all the things they think.
And then they blame the... what do they do, Dave? You know, when the cops show up, they blame the black people, right?
Exactly.
It's a bad influence.
Everybody wants to be black, but nobody wants to be black. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That's what it is, man.
I'm reading further here, Dave. The mandingos don't get... not that the mandingos get paid for sex. It's against the rules. Each guest at Hammer's parties pays an annual membership. Couples pay $30 and mandingos $75. Everyone pays an additional $30 fee for the party.
The mandingos pay to be there?
I guess. And some mandingos confess to receiving tips of $100 or more after sessions with the couples.
Is this a big thing or is it a couple people doing this?
This is a huge thing.
It's
ridiculous. If you read the article, it goes into these details. It's sick. It's, you know, the name mandingo comes from Mandinka, a West African tribe that in the antebellum South was prized and bred for strength and virility.
Oh, like Sinead O'Connor. I do know Mandinka, right?
Exactly.
Yes, Sinead O'connor must have.
Right.
She popularized this. All right, here we go.
Like
I'm at Mandingo.
Thing? Do you have to be like, you know, is it like your union job or something?
Yeah, I think it is.
Listen, I'm at Mandingo.com. When one just isn't enough. An upscale private members-only club for those in the lifestyle.
There it is.
Real Players Club provides a safe and sensual environment for open-minded, consenting adults to enjoy their uninhibited lifestyle. There you go. So should I agree to entering the site? Let's see. Oh, boy. Don't go to this website, please.
What are the sites?
Don't go to that website.
Oh, my God.
Don't go to the website.
Dave, this is bad. Do not go.
Don't go. Don't go.
Whoever's watching it, it's very bad.
It's X-rated, and don't go to it,
please. It's X-rated, very
bad. I didn't realize it would be that... that graphic.
Oh my God!
Let's close that website.
Close that
now.
Website.
Yeah,
but this actually goes on. Supposedly, there's one in like
there's photographic evidence on that website.
Right. Supposedly, there's like, you know,
it's just as you described.
Yeah. Just as you described. The SoCal Mandingos and New York City Mandingos were already up and running when the Florida one group was already said. This group they're writing about was already set up, and today there's new groups sprouting in Atlanta, Chicago, Oakland, but Hammer's the guy who has this one is the most prominent. I guess MC Hammer had a new line of work, Dave.
Oh,
after
boy.
The only Mandingo invited Mandingo group.
What about D.C.? What about D.C. and Newark and Detroit?
I don't know. They're not right now. Okay. Well, Hammer's A-team comprises 20 of the more than 100 single black men in his books. Many of them are here tonight. Okay?
Mike, it's disturbing to me that you're so interested in this.
Are you thinking of joining the club? Dave, here you go, Dave. Here you go, Dave. Okay, here's some of the requirements, Dave. They have to have at least 8 inches and a college degree.
What?
Okay.
They have to have at least 8 inches and a college degree. They have to be able to role play. And most important of all, they have to be gentlemen.
All right.
Gentlemen?
Oh, what are man.
How much of a gentleman can you be when you're banging some other guy's wife? I mean, you gotta be kidding me. This is really pathetic, man. You have to look at this. But I
actually was not aware of that that new lifestyle.
Well,
but people in this country are just getting bored. They're really getting bored with everything. They're overloaded with TV, with movies, the internet. They just need something to like inspire them and whatever. And now it's just come down to this.
You gotta just go in.
Hey, bud, let's party.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Spicoli is partying with the Mandingos. So that, all right. That, well, that, I guess we're.
Any final words before we go off?
Yes.
Thank you for salvaging what was left of the show. But anything else you want to add to that? I mean, you should go seriously. I want you to go look at that article and you tell me what you think.
I will check out the is it the current issue of details?
It's current. It's right now. If you go right up there, if you go to details.com, I think the first article that pops up is Meet the Mandingos right on the cover, because there's like four pages of outrage and people responding to this whole thing. You know,
I'll check it out, and then I'm going to see you guys next week. I'm flying out for PodCamp NYC.
Yes, that is going to be quite the show. So maybe you can check out the.
You know what? Did you talk about PodCamp NYC yet, you guys?
Yes, we did
on this show.
Yes, we did.
Okay, we talked about it because this is the show that people will be listening to if they meet us at PodCamp and then immediately sign up and then hear it on Saturday or Sunday.
Good.
See, these things get a little complicated.
Mike, we have people at the booth or whatever. I mean, what's her name?
We only talked about Alexandra. Alexandra, the booth babe,
Alexandra.
Will be there.
What are we calling her? What is her official capacity for this show?
Booth babe.
Oh, okay.
Communications babe. Facilitator.
Okay. Communications facilitator.
Yes. That's public her official title.
Public relations specialist.
Yes.
Exactly. Right. You know, whatever it takes, you know, for what we're paying her, she's going to be there and do whatever whatever we want for 4 hours.
She cute?
Yeah, Dave, if she's a booth babe, I'm not going to get something that's ugly. Of course.
All right.
You know?
How old is she?
I don't know. She's probably, I would say like late, what was she? Probably late 20s now.
Yeah.
You know?
Late 20s?
Late 20s.
All right.
You know?
Great.
What's her situation?
She's got to be single, man. I mean, she's always having, she's one of those women that always had the bad relationship, you know, with some guy. You know, there's always some kind of crisis going on. When she was filming that short film I did a couple years back, she was on her cell phone constantly because he was like, you know, she was throwing the shit out of her house from her boyfriend. That kind of crazy crap.
Yeah.
You know, he's holding some of her personal belongings hostage.
A drama queen.
A drama queen. What do you think a woman like that's going to do, Dave? Have like a normal life? You know, that's what she does for a living. Well, she works. She's very hot. She works for a pharmaceutical. You know,
hook a brother up.
I'll tell her you're part of the Mandingo. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to meet a nice Mandingo?
Yeah, maybe you could do a better job hooking me up with her than you did with Devonna. Remember that?
Are you going to go to that story right now?
I don't know. I think we're almost to the end of the show now.
He's going to make me feel bad about this again. You know, this is a true story. Okay.
Yeah.
I was actually very, very close friends and knew very well at the gym. Ms. Olympia. Miss Figure Olympia.
Yeah.
Okay. This is not those moose, you know, women, but I'm talking about the ones that are figure, whatever. And I just go. So I actually knew her quite well and became friendly with her. I talked to her from time to time. She's another one that went, you know,
met her at the gym, right?
Yeah, I met her at the gym. Just, you know, casually, you know, talked to her from time to time, see her there. And I told her, she asked me, because she knew I was married, do you have any nice guys or friends or whatever it may be? And, you know, I couldn't think of anybody. And And then finally I thought of you, of course, when you were, and then you're like, oh, you'll hook a brother up. So I was just sure. I asked her, are you okay with black men? She was fine with that, of course. Her eyes lit up when I said that. You know, and then she was like, okay, so let's meet her and then whatever. And I brought you to the gym that day that you were in town.
Oh, no, but wait, before that, you were like, Dave, go check her out, she's in this month's Muscle and Fitness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, Frank, I go to the newsstand, and I go to check out Muscle and Fitness magazine.
Yeah.
I open it up, and the title of the article is Best Body on the Planet.
Really?
And you should see this chick, Frank. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she's Puerto Rican, you know, and she's beautiful. I mean, she's just a natural beauty. I mean, she's just naturally a beautiful woman.
Best body on the planet.
But the title of the article really is Best Body on the Planet. And she won the Figure Olympia three times running.
Wow.
Which means, like, you are the best body on the planet. There's no debate about that. So that was the woman that I was trying to hook Dave up with. And, of course, the day she's supposed to come, she doesn't show up. So we go there, and I'm like, and he's all bummed and everything else.
Good work, Michael.
Yeah, it wasn't my fault. Dave, I saved you. I saved you from a lot of hassle, man. It would never have worked out. You know, it would never have worked out. You would never have come out here. It would never have worked out. You know, you wouldn't have came back to Jersey, and she would have been like, would have been a big mess. She would have cheated on you. She would have cheated. I would die alone. she would have cheated on you anyway, and it wouldn't have been worth it, man. You know?
Oh, really? She's okay.
She would have been one of those type, man. You couldn't trust anyway.
She's on her second marriage anyway, right?
Yeah, exactly. She's on her second marriage. She married some restaurateur. Why do they always marry restaurateurs?
Right. Oh, no! Okay, guys.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and we will talk to you again. We'll see you next week in the pod camp.
All right.
Good night. Good night.
Take it easy, guys.
Thank you, man.
Good night.
Bye.
All right.
Oh, a little check-in from our program director.
Yeah. Ooh.
Well.
And immediately, look what happened. And this is the closing credit music, and it's a little bit earlier than usual. It's about 2 hours and 10 minutes into the show, and we are making a little change in our format. It used to be 3 hours. We're going to be going to more of a two-hour type format.
It's really punchy and fast, get going right away. And
you know, we're switching to two, and this is obviously going to be a little bit longer, you know. And
so we're going to do more shows now, right? We're going to do like double the amount of shows then as a result.
And you may have noticed we didn't push the button.
I'm so wasted.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's push the button one last time.
How much did I spend on that button now that we're never going to use again?
We'll find another use for it. Here is the button. The last time we're going to... I don't know. We'll figure out another use for it. But we're tweaking things. We're changing things. It's to work in progress, let's say.
That's correct.
So there you go.
As we're winding down, Frank, I'd like to say that, you know, right now with us, we have our amazing group of premium listeners that have been dedicated with us since day one.
Yes.
And I'm really going to put the personal... plea out to all of them, because we're going to really, when we hit pod camp, we're really going to have a massive response to that.
Yeah.
But before we get just that crazy hit of like rush and become these mega superstars and you know, forget the little people we stepped on to get where we are.
Yeah.
I really would like to talk to our premium listeners and say, look, it's quite simple. Everybody knows 18 to 25 people. Go out there, make contact with them, have them come check the show out.
Yeah.
You know, have them come listen a couple times, you know, and we're going to set something up so every person you send to us, you'll get credit for it somehow, some way.
We're working on a system, and once we get that system figured out, we will let everyone know about it.
And it'll be very lucrative financially to you, but do it because you love the show, not because you're going to make money. But if it has to be about money, we'll make it about money. But we want to see some new names coming in there, some new people on the forum, some new people checking the show out. So please, you know, let them know. Pass the word. Spend a few minutes of your time sharing it with a friend.
And they'll tell two people
and
like
so
that
on,
old
and so on,
shampoo
and so on.
Commercial.
Yes, use the Fabergé organic shampoo.
Yeah, whatever happened to that? Didn't they go out of business?
No, that
theory didn't work. Are they still in business, Fabergé?
I think Fabergé is still around.
Yeah?
Right? They make eggs now.
Yeah. So there you go. So the show is really winding down. And yes, we're switching to the two-hour format. And they're getting a little extra this week.
Bonus time.
2 hours and 12 minutes so far. And as we're watching the credits roll by, all the great people that work on the show, do you see anyone on the list that you'd like to point out?
Well, Frank, you know, I actually was approached, you know, by someone, and he asked me if we can mention him. He's been long overdue.
Yeah,
and we've neglected to acknowledge him. Roberto Hyman.
Roberto Hyman.
Roberto
yes,
is our
of course.
Roberto is our Brazilian waxer.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Have you ever been?
Nothing against Roberto, but it can be rather painful, especially in those sensitive areas.
Yeah. Have you ever been waxed by Roberto?
3 times so far. We've only been doing how many shows now?
But you know, it does grow in fast.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, it does grow in fast, but I don't understand. I mean, people said you got to have a Brazilian waxer. So we got a Brazilian waxer, and he's our Brazilian waxer.
Yeah.
And he's a pro.
And you not only wax people, you can actually wax equipment too.
Right.
You know, so he's actually waxing...
The hair
off of our various mixers and audio equipment and our everything else. So, I mean, it's multifunctional, you know. Hair grows in everything around here, you know.
When we had the Yetis in the studio, he actually waxed the Yetis for us as well, too, that time. Every Yeti left you with a nice wax.
Exactly.
You ever see a waxed Yeti?
It's great.
It's definitely something.
It's a great thing to see.
We should have took... Actually, the camera was in the fridge that night because there's nothing like taking a picture of a waxed Yeti.
Exactly.
That would have been something to see in the premium side, wouldn't it have been?
Yep. So we have 30 seconds left. What do you have to say to everyone?
I say, stay tuned. Number 8's coming up before you know it. And please visit us at PodCamp NYC, New Yorker Hotel, Saturday, April 7th, 2007. We'll be there.
We will see you there. Good night, everyone out there listening to the Anything But Monday show.